I'm hot.
Hot.
Super.
Hot.
Super.
Hot.
Super.
Hot.
That's good.
Hello.
Hey, man. What up?
Welcome to the Super Best Friend Cast, y'all.
Hello.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Whimper. Whimper. with not with a bang, but with a whimper. Our guest joins us. Perfect. What an excellent way to start things off.
That's a great way to start any podcast.
Have we ever had a guest do that?
Oh, no, that's a new one. That's a new one.
I don't think so.
But seriously, hey guys, what's up?
What is up, sir?
Who is this mysterious British voice?
This is Mr. Klemps.
Is Mr. Klemps
now live-ish.
Yeah. Oh,
now talking to us.
Very nice.
He's alive. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always like, a good prerequisite.
Not like last time.
Yeah.
I'm thankful every day.
Where he got everything in that spoiler cast super fucking wrong.
Listen, okay. Taro got me. He got me.
Okay. Well, but before we dance around those topics, by all means, sir, introduce yourself
further.
Okay, sweet.
YouTube guy, hi everyone. Voice actor, co-writer, VA for sketches, contact me via DM.
I'm reading off my Twitter, man. Well, hey guys, I'm Klemps. I do a YouTube where I do kind of lighthearted video game analysis and reviews. I released a video yesterday which is about the Vanillaware side-scrolling action game called Odin Sphere.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, and if you haven't played that game, you should totally check it out.
I've heard that there's no reason to play Life at this year, and that you're perfectly fine to play the PS2 original.
No, don't do that at all. It is really weird how they give you the option to play the original. Like,
wait, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they give you the option. It's like play the classic, and it's like, oh.
That's interesting. So I've infamously, I perhaps told the story about why I've never finished it, and that's because I made it to Ragnarok, but my save was pretty much locked in with no items, shit stat characters that were like on their deathbed. So every time I got sent to the next boss fight, it was completely unwinnable. And there wasn't a way to go back and actually fix that, so I kind of just quit.
Aww. Fairly sure there was, unless are you talking about the original PS2?
The original game, the original game.
Ah, okay. Which well, they must have.
I heard they addressed in the new release.
They must have, because you can just go back to like the other books now and get items that way, so it's much easier.
Yeah.
Cool.
My favorite Odin Sphere story is when Austin Eruption had his video saying you should really buy this new version. It's amazing. Then like 3 days later, I found like the original PS2. It's like, hey everyone, Austin Eruption says to buy this. It's really good.
Yeah, it is really bizarre because I said in the video how I'm like, yeah, I'm playing the remake, and then people are like, I'm going to buy the PS2 version because I can't afford the remake. I said, no, don't do that. I didn't say do that.
Just wait.
Please.
Just wait then if you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Little things.
No, I'm glad that I'm definitely glad that that was re-released and or acknowledged again. I really hope that the next thing Vanillaware does
is more like that.
Well, whatever it is, I hope that they don't feel the need to have so much backtracking.
Well,
and I know it's hard because it's expensive as fuck.
It's the way they do their art. You get to pick.
Their new game, do we know anything about it? I know there was a trailer that we missed during E3, or I missed.
I didn't hear any.
The Persona one.
News.
Or at the very least, perhaps, like the way that Muramasa, excuse me, extra chapters.
He's dying.
The way those extra chapters played out with, like, you know, little segmented pieces of these characters and whatnot, so that you just don't feel the repetition as hard. Because Dragon's Crown, to me, was unbelievable until you hit that loop.
Okay, I never finished Dragon's Crown. Didn't even get close, but I beat Muramasa with both characters, which I still, to this day, I'm like, how did I do that?
I was kind of shocked because I was going through it, and I just tapped out, and then it's a situation where, like, okay, well, Matt's clearly more into it. He's going to beat it. Hey, Matt, did you beat it? No. Hey, Matt, did you beat it? No. And, like, that process kept going for a while. Like,
because when you asked and when I said no, it's because I was in the process. I just, like, it
was. No, what I mean was, it's like, it's the kind of thing, it's like, I figured I quit, like, halfway through.
Yeah.
because we were around the same part, and then it's like, oh, Matt's going to keep going. And it's like, there was so much more of the same after I quit that you went through.
The reason why I persevered, I think, is because I wanted to see the next boss. Like, I love Muramasa bosses specifically. Yeah.
They're so good looking. Vanillaware knock it out of the park every single time.
The fucking Thunder Girl. The Thunder Girl who's like the thickest, most muscular Thunder Girl ever in the sky.
Yeah.
Loved her. So
Raijin's fantastic.
Yeah, Raijin. And yeah, I played good chunk of the Vita version, but I didn't like the DLC characters in that too much. Like, they're
really
unique, but I wasn't really into their playstyle, that's all.
Because everybody, like, I haven't actually touched the DLC for Muramasa yet, but everybody tells me, like, oh, it's the best part about Muramasa. So I'm surprised to hear somebody say the opposite.
If I remember
right. I just didn't like the character's fighting style. They were neat, because it's a cat girl, like a cook, like a salary man. And I forget the other one. There's like another ninja or something, but I didn't get him yet.
So, you were going to say something about, I guess, the repetition?
The repetition is definitely a reason for people to put it down. Like, I'm not going to judge anybody if they go, yeah, I played a couple of stories and I stopped. Because I think that's why they're best played on, like, a Vita, because they are, at least to me anyway, they pick up, put down games. If you play it on the PS4, you kind of... I always feel it's like an incentive just to go through it nonstop. But with a Vita, you can just quickly switch it off, go do something else, go back and return to it. Really, really quick and simple. So I wouldn't judge anybody for kind of stopping. And that's what I'm a little bit nervous about Aegis Rim. Because from what I've seen of it, and don't get me wrong, like, we've only seen one trailer that's been repeated for the last, like, two E3s. It looks very colorless. All the characters have, like, white hair. I know it's, like, post-apocalyptic, but I kind of want that vibrancy that I'm used to in Vanillaware games.
Yeah, because, like, every single one is the most, like, oversaturated, colorful iPhone thing. So, yeah, I can see that.
And that's my only real concern. And, you know, for all I know, I could play it, and the gameplay could just be completely phenomenal, and I could push that aside. But I guess it's just me. I like the kind of the vibrant colors of, like, the forests in Odin's Sphere and stuff like that, and Muramasa, pretty much every single
screen
thing in that game. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe we get to, like, go through some weird creepy forest in, like, 13.
I never got that gross tentacle octopus boss for Momohime. That, remember, there was that cover on, like, Game Informer or, like, a magazine where it had tentacles, maybe where tentacles shouldn't be on a cover of a magazine.
That's just Vanillaware.
Never found that boss in the game, so I guess it must have been optional. I don't know.
It was just for the cover.
It was just a promotional
here,
thing.
But I know there's a cat girl statue somewhere around here.
No, there's Felicia, and that's it.
Okay.
And not in this
room. Are you talking about the Muramasa?
The Muramasa cat girl.
Those are fox ladies.
No, that's fox lady, Kongiku.
Okay.
Oh, man, the figurines of her are just, whoa, mama.
Yeah. They're just whoa, mama.
I guess when I think about games that look as pretty and have as much of a comparable budget with the art, I think of
Call
like Ori and the Blind Forest, right? Call of Duty.
Ooh.
Call of Duty of the Blind Forest. I'd play that in a fucking second.
Skate Man, you know, definitely all up there in the same category.
Yeah.
But with like Ori, because I haven't completed that. Is there any sort of reuse of those amazingly expensive assets?
What do you mean by
stages and things like that?
Because it's
do
much
you feel
more,
it in the same way you feel in a Vanillaware game.
Because for a Vanillaware game, it's running through the same screen, either left or right, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Ori is more of a Metroidvania where it's all over the place, so it makes more sense where you want to, like, oh, there's a pickup in that level, but. But Muramasa and, like, you know, Vanillaware games in general just force you to run through empty screens.
They sure do. They like to do that.
On the back
bunch.
Of the box, it says, "We will make you run through empty screens." We sure will. Like
empty, like bullet point empty screens, bullet point food porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Sold.
But, you know, Ori, like, it makes sense when you, like, you'd only really go through that area again if you want to get some pickup. So, yeah, there is asset reuse, but in the traditional open-worldy
map. It makes sense.
Metroid
sort
of way.
I think that might also be a factor of Vanillaware's games, because the art is so high quality from, like, the shading and the way they blend it. Characters tend to be super close to the screen. for that kind of thing. Like, Ori's like a relatively small thing. Like, you know, he's about the about half the size of Samus, I guess. But like, think of how big Gwendolyn is on the screen of, say, Odin's Sphere.
Yeah,
and so you get to see every detail,
every single detail. Mm-hmm.
And I guess so. I kind of like it.
And I guess, like, you know, a bit further down from those games would be something like Child of Light, you know,
where that game,
it's like super gorgeous 2D, but clearly not
Child
going
of Light. God, I forgot
Ubisoft,
what it was.
UbiArt.
the UbiArt engine that I'm glad is dead and buried.
It's the UbiArt engine,
that awful engine that shouldn't be used every 2 years. Yeah.
I don't think it is, but
no, I'm being sarcastic.
I know.
Should be used. Like,
I know. I don't think it's dead. I mean,
that when game made
the
me
last
feel
time
like
the
such
game
a...
used it was Child of Light.
Yo, I know. But I don't think it's dead.
Okay.
Child of Light kind of made me
what
sad.
Know?
In a way.
Made me an old vote. Okay, we'll talk later.
We'll
about
talk
that.
Later. Yeah. Anyway.
I definitely do at some point, you know, want to just like, I don't want to replay Odin Sphere, but
I don't know what your solution is to
I do want to just end it, you know.
Watch an LP on YouTube.
I suppose, but you know, I want to feel
he doesn't want to support that scummy business practice.
I mean, he'd be right not
stealing sales. God, fuck those people.
Well, honestly, like the situation you're describing, you is actually like sale replacement.
It's a pretty difficult one. I'd have no problem buying it again, but
yeah,
I just don't know.
I bought it,
but
again.
It's just the time.
I'd never booted it up.
Yeah,
so
but I bought it again.
But yes, Clemps, do tell.
Yeah.
Have you had a week? Has 7
Boy,
days occurred
have,
in your life?
Have I had a week? Yeah, I sure have. Most of it has been trying to log on to Final Fantasy XIV, which I'm sure we're going to get into in a
God,
bit.
Dude. So remember Matt said he had a news story that like yeah. had just happened so he could put it in his week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a news story that is my week.
Pretty much,
and
it's been
it's
mine
the
too.
Same one that happened to Clemps. So do you want to take it away and then we'll just... swap
let's
it out on the shit show.
Let's get it out of the way because I know that Willie and Matt don't play it. But yeah, so Stormblood has come out for early access. Now that alone should basically mean we should expect these things to happen. But holy
server queues,
crap.
You know, all the server crap, you know, that kind of shit. Same thing that happens to everything.
Yep.
This
it's
is
so bad.
One of the most unprecedented failures of a launch.
What do you mean?
I have ever seen for anything because of the the way that it played out was the worst version of every event you could possibly have. So
I love that they yeah go on.
Did you end up transferring to a European server?
I did. Yes.
Can you get on that server at all?
Well, the other day it took me a whole day to get on.
To get
and
through
that
your
was,
queue?
It said that the server is congested, and I was like, oh boy. And because I changed servers, I'd had to like change my retainer name, and
right.
It wouldn't let me do it because it was sorting out all of the server stuff. So I couldn't get in the queue, which meant I had to just sit on my ass and wait for it to sort itself out. And I know that's like, you know, it's partly my fault for transferring, but whatever.
Well, they gave you reasons to transfer.
Yeah,
they told you to get off our American servers and get over to your dirty European servers.
Yeah, and then like when I actually like logged on, you just get logged off again because the connection issues are going everywhere. And I know definitely from your case, Pat, because you're actually in the Stormblood content right now. And
yes,
I don't think we're going to be posting spoiler content, but
no,
definitely not.
Was everybody down or
no,
were some people
there is a,
getting in?
There are two completely different, highly specific issues. There are people that are having Clemps' problem, which is just straight up something happened to my character at some point, and I can't log into the server. And then there's the problem that almost everybody had, which is the one that I ran into. So I was supposed to start the start of a 24-hour stream on Friday, which has now been super canceled. Couldn't be more canceled.
Holding that button down.
Because it's funny that you mentioned that, actually, because that's the problem. So I start playing. You know, it's a fucking MMO special. Everybody files into their zone, and they go talk to the guy, and they spread out, and they do the quest, right?
Yep.
So I'm putzing around. I'm taking my time. And I hear some people saying, hey, there's a quest where you talk to this guy called Raubon. And it loads you into a solo instance where you have a boss fight by yourself, like in an instance piece of content, right? And people are like, oh, they can't get in. They talk to him, and it seems to be bugged out because you talk to him, and the cutscene happens, and it fades to black, and then you just get kicked right back out. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll wait for that to clear up, and I go do some stuff. And this is Friday morning at 5:30 a.m. So then I get to Raubon, and there's like 400 people standing next to this guy. And they have split the servers. They've split all those zones into three instances each. So that means there's like 1,000 people standing next to him on my server.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Let's click on him for a while. Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, no one.
They didn't fix it for like a day and a half. It was just people standing by this guy. No one
is getting through. This is like, I took my time. If you fucking like played it normally and just went main quest, main quest, main quest, this is 45 minutes in one half of the first zone with no access to anywhere else. So you're stuck. You are stuck. There is not much you can fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then,
I just like the explosion of like spur of the moment like memes of it. Where it has like, was it, there's that one of Spider-Man trying to like attack something, and there's the wall, and they Photoshop Robin's face onto it.
Yeah, that was the guy in my static that made that.
All bad launches have memes, like that Nintendo store on Japan had like this character that they started. When you try to log in the Nintendo Switch store, there was like this error that they would get, and they started meme the error where it was like a monster, like a kaiju attacking the city. But when did they get the details?
But when it's so hyper focused down to a character that you can attach to this, that is the ultimate base.
Like how he's just like this Square Enix server man that just won't let anybody past him.
He's a character that people really like. So okay,
unleash the Photoshops. Yeah,
it takes about 6 hours, and the devs come out with a response. Go okay. So there's the instance servers, which are separate from the dungeon ones and the proper server ones.
Yeah.
They go, those things are getting super fucked up right now. What we're going to need you to do is do something else and come back later.
Okay. Oh, I love it.
And that's not a solution.
So obviously people are getting very, very frustrated.
Well, the
and
reason
I,
they're
I
getting
do...
frustrated is that a couple people, including streamers, if you hauled your ass and skipped every cutscene, like maybe 100 people per server got before the bottleneck and totally got
made
through.
It. Okay.
So it's like a door that's closing.
Yes.
And just slide underneath.
And if you like are just like, I don't want to hear this cutscene, I'm just rushing and I don't even
care. No. You learn how to skip that cutscene real fast. Okay. You literally you XX left X circle X over for and people are hitting it for hours. So it's one of those things where MMO players don't behave as rational actors. So instead of just going off and doing something else, what do people actually do on the early launch of the day, on Friday, the day they took off from work?
Camp.
They literally sit there
it's really sad.
For 50 hours.
Set up shop. And absolutely.
So
create a community, little impromptu
Friday
festival.
All the way through. No, nothing. Nearly nobody gets through. The free company has 300 people in it.
Yeah.
Bad for you. I felt so bad.
Like, but tailgate,
people
tailgate party though, right?
Okay, so here's the part that's really awesome. You ready? After Raubon, people that actually got through, like a dozen people, there's another solo instance less than a half hour later that uses the same servers.
Oh, yeah.
At the guy's son, Pippin.
Okay.
And then people are like, I'm through, Pippin! And then about half hour after that started to happen, uh-oh. I'm now like stuck at in their the own second rights. Wall.
It's so great. I love it.
Maria.
And, yeah, Rose.
And Pippin's cutscene is even harder to skip because it gives you a warning. Make sure to set some time aside because there's going to be a lot of cutscenes.
The way you're talking about it makes it sound like a raid.
Like 6 or 7 dialogue prompts. Then yes, then skip the cutscene, then it boots you out. Now, occasionally, it'll boot you out and lock you out of the server for an hour or so. Occasionally, it'll lose your character under the world or whatever. But this was just
wow,
broken. Nobody's getting through up until fucking... So me and the guys, my static, were just like, fuck it, we're going to do it. And we sat there all night, Saturday into Sunday morning.
Oh my god!
Just and then at 7 a.m. Sorry, I forgot the wonderful part. Eventually, enough people got through to be able to beat bosses, and then a dev message comes out and says, "Okay, so we don't know what's causing this, but if you beat this boss, there's a high likelihood your character will be clipped out of the game world, and a GM will have to go move you. And until then, you can't log in."
Sick.
Welcome to Stormblood.
That's awesome.
So people who got through are like, yeah, I did it. I'm fighting Susano. I beat her. Why? Oh, boy. My character doesn't even show up on the login screen. And so it ended up being that the fix for that was that if you – because they added swimming in all these new areas, that if you were like doing the sit down or lie down emote when you went into the boss fight and then when you came out, your character would be lower – than the ground.
Oh my god.
And you would be in, like, well, for developer friend, he called it null space. You would be, your coordinates in the game world wouldn't exist.
Out of world, yeah.
So it would try to load you in out of world.
So yeah,
it couldn't. So you'd be stuck until a GM literally comes and moves you individually.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Whilst like all of this was happening, I went onto Twitter and I saw the most heartwarming image of community that was just it was a picture of about 400 or 300 people all in a line. They were all in a straight line taking their turns talking to this guy. And it was a very organized
one. Hurry up, thing.
I like exactly.
I love seeing that type of thing. There was a recent image similar to that on Guilty Gear Rev 2, where there's arcade cabinets that you meet up in online lobbies for, and one guy was on a win streak, and everyone was just politely standing behind him in a massive line. I love that,
guys.
So, like, these are all frustrating enough before you deal with player behavior that is trying to fuck you. So next to these two people that you're mashing cutscene go through for hours, there's enemy spawns, and people are walking over to the enemies, dragging them over to the group, standing on it so the AoE hits every single fucking person and knocks them out of the cutscene so that they can get that they can get in when everyone gets knocked out.
Yeah.
And then people who are far enough, they're like level 68, they unlock flying in the zone because you come back on the other side. They unlock flying and they're parking their giant flying mounts like directly above the line.
There are villains everywhere.
Like right above. And they're doing all these bullshit like fancy emotes and fucking with people. And people found out that one of the astrologian's new skills sounds like the menu noise for when you load in.
Oh.
So they just spam it. So you're in the black screen and you hear Earthly Star. You go, I'm in! And it's like, no, it's just that fucking astro ability. God damn it.
Wow.
And then my favorite is some servers were good, some servers were not. People figure there are 2-person mounts that you can get on. So if somebody has flying, you can get on the mount. It's like, hey, how about I pay you? You pay me 1,000,000 gil, and I will fly you over the wall to the other part of the zone, so you can start exploring the zone.
That is genius. I'd totally do that. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I'd be a villain for a
Uber
day.
Hustle.
I'd be a villain.
What a fucking hustle, man!
I'd rub my hands together,
higher
and lick my lips.
Than normal surge. Happening. I'm not sure if you want to pay this amount of gil.
Yeah.
I changed my class to rogue and really roleplay it.
Oh,
come over here. Pay me gil. I'll take you over the wall.
This is bad, obviously. But what
it's
made
bad.
It way worse is like the development team's awful PR. Just
they have been
awful.
Silent, haven't they?
They mentioned twice on Friday morning. Hey, the instant servers are fucked up. Just go do something else and come back. They didn't say anything about it until like 5 hours after it was fixed on Sunday, saying, hey, we moved some resources around. Now 20,000 people an hour are getting through these bottlenecks. We fixed it. But all of Friday and all of Saturday, they're posting these minor bug updates. Like, oh, we found a hot fix for the boss bug where you get clipped out of the world. Or, oh, hey, we fixed the PvP server. And everyone's like, who gives a fucking shit, man?
Well, I assume the bigger problem to fix just took longer.
And, well, the worry was that they didn't know how to fix it.
Because
this exact scenario occurred at the launch of A Realm Reborn and persisted for almost 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And that one would kick you off the server nearly every time you tried. And people actually formed lines on that and totally just...
Productive weekend.
So...
it's been fun.
So you eventually get through, and then... you get stuck on a boat, and then people try and enter the dungeon. And they get so just very typical,
yeah,
like horrific MMO launch. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but Sunday morning at about 6:15 a.m., I sent both of you a message on Twitter, and then that message disappeared, and the message became never mind.
Yeah.
So what that was is going.
I assumed you had killed yourself.
I had no idea.
Like,
never mind.
Bam.
I was scrolling back for a missed conversation something going horribly wrong.
So what that was at 5:30 a.m. after sitting there and spamming on fucking Pippin's stupid cutscene for close to 6 hours, going into Monday morning or Sunday morning, going. Okay, guys, listen. I'm obviously coming into the podcast. Is the schedule that you guys planned for my vacation set in stone yet? Because I can just come in on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay. And the way that was worded was like, because of this bullshit going on.
Well, no, it's like...
And I was like, I don't know what bullshit it was, so I'm panicking, going like, is something blowing up? Is something happening?
No, it's like, hey, look, I took a week off work so I could play my video game like a big nerd,
oh,
right?
Man.
If I can't fucking play it, I might as well just fucking come to work and just take the time later, right?
Right.
And then about... 40 minutes after I sent that, it was this miraculous... It was like a miracle because I'm on voice chat with all these people that have been trying for hours, and all of a sudden somebody goes, oh, I got in! And they start, you know, cheering, yay, because they're so happy.
What a hero.
And then somebody
else
goes,
ticket.
I just got in. And then about 10 seconds after that, I got in.
I am Spartacus.
And then a friend of mine
I am G
hears
Prime.
That, and he's fucked off. He's grinding bullshit because he's like, I'm not going to waste my time. He goes... Oh, I gotta get to the zone before news gets out because it's 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And once news gets out, even with the new
storm.
Servers that they must have added, it felt like they just turned on a bunch of servers. It's gonna stick again.
Mm-hmm.
Runs over,
the
everybody's
storm
getting
of
in.
People. Oh, boy.
And then it's been intermittent since then. So, as for the expansion itself,
you're like it's fine.
The content of that expansion.
It's not worth
it. Is amazing, and it's way better than the last expansion. Like, all the battle system changes are great.
I am
Clem's
so
has been
glad
playing
to hear
his
that.
Bard, and he's really happy with
oh,
it.
Oh, yo, Bards! The changes to Bards are so... Like, they actually... They feel like a proper, like, musician class now, because you have to sing. Like, previously, you were essentially an archer that would buff people when their, like, MP or TP was low. But now, it's just, like, continuous songs. Where you sing like Mage's Ballad and your
are
entire
party
gets
are they
crit
dirty
buff.
Songs?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're filthy.
Foe's Requiem is dirty.
Yeah.
So, to explain to these chuckle fucks, because they don't play MMOs, but they know enough about them. I'm a
chuckle fuck for not sitting
that's
for
right.
6 hours and clicking left, left, X, left, X.
I was celebrating Father's Day when you were doing that.
So, I prepared for this, Wooly. I knew you would do that. Mister, I'm going to go to a con with my PS4 and literally lie in bed all weekend mashing the Street Fighter thing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me.
It ain't judging. I'm just saying.
Was that the launch of 5?
That was the beta.
Oh, it was
the beta.
I fully embraced that. I ain't calling
anyone else
a chuckle fuck on it.
You don't play the game, but you understand.
It's in there.
So the thing with this thing, though, to go back to the bug, the worst part, it's like, everyone is screaming, take the servers down and fix it, because this just makes people stand there for 24 hours a day mashing to get in.
So SFV servers at the time was a Twitter that was like popping up with little regular updates and stuff. Was there a like dedicated?
Nope.
No, okay.
Nope. All right. The devs would occasionally put out a message say, hey, we fixed that bug where you sit down and get locked out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we added more stuff to the PvP so you can PvP. And you're like, who gives a shit?
We fixed other things where we want you to go. Go other places.
Did you go to other things? Official...
Don't look there. Nothing here.
And did you go to the official forums while that was happening?
Yeah, no. The tech support threads on that are just like people literally screaming all caps on the official forums.
Fucking fix that! Why are you doing
that shit?
People are more like, I've seen people that just talk to us, give us a reply, a response, anything, and it's so sad.
And
I just feel like everyone's like rubbing Yoshi P's back and giving him kisses. It's just like, don't worry, everything will be fixed.
If you want the real shit, like the real source of like frustration that borders on like hatred of the fact that Square Enix is a Japanese company. Japanese servers did not have this problem.
Oh, mama.
Just period.
That's a little bit
frustrating. And it's impossible to transfer to those, I suppose?
It is possible to transfer. And what that ended up with is Tonberry is the Japanese server for English-speaking players.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday night, people were being hit with 5,000-person queues, which take 4 hours to get through. Because people heard that the Japanese servers didn't have the problem
and
paid their $18.
Yeah.
And then less than 10 hours later, the problem was fixed. Now, I'm not saying they just care about the Japanese servers. But what I'm saying is they only care about the Japanese servers. That's what I'm saying.
It's like an ocean that's dammed off at like 3 points, and there's a funnel, a single water tube that the water can go through, and that's the only place it can go.
And people were able to find old interviews where they're like, the solo instance server can per server can accommodate about 100 people at a time, right?
Oh,
and this is from like 2 years ago, so they probably upgraded. Maybe it's 200 people, right? Gilgamesh and Balmong, which are the two biggest American servers, had like 16 and 17,000 people online trying to get
You're
into this
kidding.
One thing. Trying to get into a hole built for 150, Jeez. 200 people.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like a fake game.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like they opened up like a game or like put it out in a store and then just put a velvet rope and waited, and people were like, what's
Mission
this
Hill?
Velvet rope? Mission Hill.
Lining up outside room. The boiler
so
room.
So people go, and then there's this MMO guy, like whatever, a quest giver, and he's just like, oh man, the adventures you'll have.
I can't even describe what's back in this
you
room.
You can do
like,
anything.
And there's all these explosions coming from behind him, and like merriment, and he's like, yo, oh geez, you never want to
You're
anywhere
right,
again.
You're super right, because at some point people start freaking out, and they're like, what, did they not finish the game? Is this the solution? Is the game actually delayed?
And then at the end, the NPC kills himself and drops dead.
Oh, it was the greatest MMO of all time.
A touchstone for our generation.
First Tupac, then Kurt.
Now Stormblood. And I can say I was there.
Well, not really, but I was at the front door.
And there's all sorts of little details that make this better. Like, the game has a feature where the larger a group of people are in proximity to each other, it creates crowd noise. So if there's, like, 10 people standing next to each other, next to a guy,
you
hear whisper, whisper, whisper.
Bubble, talk, talk, talk. Okay, huh.
This, like, you would come out of the cutscene and you'd know it failed to load in because you would hear this roar of in-world, like, characters shouting and yelling because there's so many of them that the game is like, oh, they're going to a big fight, I guess.
Okay.
Like, oh, no. That's right.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, they do that when you're in, like, fates and stuff like that. So obviously when you're running, it sounds like there's a giant battle going on.
Every part of it was a mess. But back to what I was saying. To explain why Klumps is so happy about his bard. So, Bard in A Realm Reborn was a class that could run around, and every button it hit had no cast times, and it was just instantaneous, and everybody else stands and does their abilities, and Bards, you can literally see them going around bosses for funsies, right? In Heavensward, they said, okay, no, fuck it, every single ability you have has a cast time, and you're basically a mage with a bow now.
Yeah.
And the bar and the class got people. I have a lot of friends who played it and just like, this is the worst fucking thing ever. It's like, what if you turned Ryu into a charge character in a patch? Like, just, hey, Street Fighter V version 3.2 is out.
It would shake things up.
Now, now Guile does Shoryuken motions. And he no.
Down. Kick. Flash kick.
And they finally, oh, yeah. And then they finally rolled that back. So, like, Clemps and my pal Strider just.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. You can just run around like a crazy person. It's so great. But speaking of, like, combat in general, I wanted to talk a bit about how wrong Yoshi-P is when he says, when people were bringing up the criticism of, like, well, are you sure it's a good idea to have two new DPS in this expansion? And he goes, nah, 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 listen, guys, okay, if you're a tank, or if you're a healer, you're going to stick with being a tank or healer, because you're used to that, and that's the class you play. So I don't think you get how it works. This is like a brand new class. People are going to want to play them.
So the reason I'll give a slight more backstory. A lot of most of the things you're going to run in this game with parties, you run through the duty finder. You queue up and you wait, right?
Yes.
Are you a tank? You click that button, you're in, period. Your wait time is negative 10 minutes because you're in so fast. Okay. You're a healer? You wait 2 or 3 minutes. You're a DPS, which like 8 of the 14 classes in the game are, get ready to sit for like half an hour to an hour because they added Red Mage and Samurai to this expansion and they're both DPS and they're the most popular classes ever. Mm. And every single fucking person in the world is playing them now. Mm. And so Yoshi-P's statement that Clemson brought up, not only is it super wrong, people were quitting their tanks and healers to play these classes, so it was like worse than it ever was.
So, okay. And like the most annoying thing is that Stormblood, like as Pat said, as far as content goes, like I haven't actually reached Stormblood yet, but from everything I've seen, it looks fantastic, it's and I so can't good. Wait to get to it. Yeah, but now, unfortunately, he's made a big no-no because beforehand the queues for DPS were like 15 minutes. Now they have doubled and it's 30 minutes. So in order to get into a DPS dungeon or to queue up as DPS, you have to sit on your ass for half an hour. And it's I just don't understand.
Dungeons last 20 to 25.
And this happens every time a new class is introduced, pretty much.
Well, they don't
that
get
fits into that.
So the last time they added new classes, they added one of each role, and the tank one was Dark Knight. So okay, all so of a sudden, Dark Knight was the new popular
right,
one.
Okay, okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And DPS in the game, we're going, what? It says DPS in need on the thing. What the fuck is that?
Mm. Yeah.
But this time, it's all one role, because it's mainly just tank. One tank, two DPS, one healer, right? Problem is that should be 25, 50, 25% of the pop, right? Instead, it's like 10, 70, 20.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Like, when I go into Palace of the Dead, which is essentially this, it's a labyrinth dungeon where you go in and it's like random rooms each time. Whenever I go in there, because it doesn't do the, like, tank healer DPS thing, it mixes it up. Yeah, it's usually me, who's a bard, and about 2 samurai and 1 red mage. Sometimes you can switch it up and it could be 2 red mage and a samurai. You know, just to spice things up a bit. But basically, those are the main people I've been running into recently. And it's like, you know, Yoshi-P, my dude, during this expansion, it would be really cool if you could incorporate, let's say, a dancer as a healer. Just give us something to make those queues a little bit easier.
No.
Makes me wonder okay. if a game like Overwatch had something like that where you picked your role and then like queued up for like random. If you happened to be doing random that way, if that would help or hurt. But then I think it'll,
no,
it's a
what
game
you
that
would
encourages
do
you
is
to,
the
it encourages you to switch characters constantly, so that doesn't really
but,
work.
But like MOBAs know? Have that, like Quick Match in fucking Heroes of the Storm has that, and you pick a warrior, you get in a little faster. You pick an assassin, you're more likely to get an all assassin game. Which is a shit show.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, I want the match quickly. Because
if you're just like, if you're sick of like, okay, we need healers needed, Hanzo.
Yeah.
You know, then you kind of like, you can probably avoid that by going like, look, I'm a healer. I'm so looking to join up to any
to
game
put
as a healer.
The stupid waiting shit show with Raubon and Pippin. That, what was it? Pippin's Sloppy Ride is what people were calling it. It's the name of the Reddit topic. people go, okay, Red Knight, Red Mage and Samurai, they start at level 50 because they're new classes so that you don't have to catch up. And people go, okay, well, I can't play the new Stormblood shit. I'll go and level these old ones to 60 so that when the problem is fixed, I'll just walk through with my Red Mage. So, okay, people start to do that. And this is Friday morning. So around Saturday around noon, not only is the line bigger because it's Saturday, it is now filled with everybody who hit level 60 with those classes because they thought that the time would be over.
Ooh, it's a good launch.
And there are eventually people that are grinding so hard in that first zone that they're level 70. They're at the new level cap, and they're standing next to this guy.
Like, Billy level shit.
And it's such a bummer because like every time we try to talk about something new or interesting in this expansion, it all comes back to this is how it affected the line.
Right.
Because that was the game for 50 hours.
Clemps, was this the entirety of your week?
You got a point. Well, I guess for most of it, I was trying to finish up the Odin Sphere video. And right. I was, because I'm like a ball of nerves, I was spending all week trying to like set up my Patreon and everything like that, which I was dead nervous over. But it's out now, so I'm really happy with that.
Which people can find at?
Where can they find your Patreon?
They can find it at patreon.com/clemps, all lowercase. Oh, thanks.
Okay. Nice and clean and memorable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can also find it on my Twitter, which is just Mr. Clemps.
Hey.
I've been planning some future videos, which I'm more than happy to kind of mention here.
Sure.
So I want to do videos on the Dark Cloud series, because those games are amazing. Or I should say that game is amazing, because I've only played Dark Cloud 1, but I want to do it where I review Dark Cloud 1 and then with a fresh perspective go into Dark Cloud 2 and see if it lives up to this extraordinary amount of hype that the fan base like kind of boost it up.
I never played any of the Dark Clouds.
Dark Cloud, yeah. Dark Cloud 2 is a way better game than Dark Cloud 1.
It's level 5.
All I remember is the main character looking like the main character from Chrono Cross.
I'm glad. So Dark Cloud 2 is the only game I can ever think of that I actually quit because I hated the main character so much.
Really?
It's like it's
just his design?
It's this really beautiful cel-shaded fucking world, and it's a way better game than Dark Cloud 1, and this fucking stupid fucking kid idiot with his wrench attack and his big pants. Every moment that he's on screen, I'm just like, oh, I hate you so much. And I ended not playing the game at all.
Is it just his clothes?
I hate him.
It's like, is he a bad boy?
No, it's like Tactics A2 with that fucking piece of art everyone shows around with Lusso.
Oh my god. His pizza cutter sword.
Ugh. One of the worst designs of all time.
I love that design for purely ironic reasons. For purely ironic reasons. I actually played Tactics A2, and I was expecting it to be complete trash, but it's all right. Like, it's not bad. It's just a very easy tactics game, which is kind of lighthearted and like, I can't really say it's challenging, but it's...
It's something.
It's fun enough. Like, I definitely... Because people are like, it's terrible, because a lot of Final Fantasy Tactics fans, and I can understand this, Final Fantasy Tactics was some dark shit. Like, bad things happened in that game. And then you have Tactics Advance, which was kind of toned down thematically, but I still think the general premise is really interesting, which is kids get sucked into a book, and it's like video game shit, and it's really weird because it breaks the fourth wall. Like, in the real world, they're like, what video games do you like? And then the little kid goes, I like Final Fantasy Tactics, that's my favorite. And then they get sucked into the world of Final Fantasy Tactics, and it's really strange.
Right.
But I like that. I like that as a premise.
I like Dirge of Cerberus.
No!
I reviewed that game too.
funny that you're taking a look at Dark Cloud because level 5 is in the news this week.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
They bought concept
level 5 concept. So Dark Cloud crossed Mighty Number 9 coming soon.
No.
But we'll get there later. That's news.
I wish my facial expression could go over into audio,
later.
But
that's later.
I hope the deadpan noise I'm making can show you how I feel about what I just heard.
Right on, dude.
The, But yeah, I guess as far as the rest of my week, it's been pretty standard. I can save it right now.
Bog standard.
You can't
one
see
might
me,
say.
But I am sweating like you wouldn't believe, because it is 31 degrees in England right now, and I am uncomfortable.
That's actually hotter than
it is
today.
Hey, Mr. Klemps, why don't you buy an air conditioner?
Well, my friend. Now, I am actually interested if it's just me and I've just been an idiot all my life, but everybody's house who I've rented around, you know, just growing up in England, and pretty much every single house I've been in, just growing up in my life, has never, ever had air conditioning. Shops do. Stores do. Like, big department stores and stuff. There's air conditioning in there. But as far as, like, houses go, there isn't air conditioning. That you just buy, like, household fans.
That doesn't,
like,
make any sense. Over here, as we mentioned, like, before we started here, like, you walk out to this shop and you buy an AC for $100 and you have a pretty much disposable window unit that cools down your little pad.
I am dead curious if there's going to be a ton of UK people going, what the fuck are you talking about, Clems? Just like, what are you talking about?
I mean,
man?
If everywhere
Mothman's
been,
backing that up and saying that, like,
yeah,
there's
really
no air, there's no AC. In
okay,
the UK.
Are you saying
and
that
I just
like,
don't get
air
it.
Conditioning is against the British way?
The government stance of grin and bear it.
Grin and bear it.
When this it comes
is,
to
we're very overcrowded, so this is our way of getting rid of the elderly.
Ah,
right.
just cook them, alive.
I am interested in these theories.
Handle the weather with a stiff upper lip.
Yeah, exactly. Use all the British puns and terms.
But yeah, and like, here's the thing, right? I envy you guys, because if they were selling air conditioning here, I'd be running down there with Scooby-Doo legs. I would pick one up as soon as I can. But they're so difficult. Like,
oh, wait, like they're genuinely like, okay. So when part of the problem, when you talk to us about this, I go, why don't you just walk down to your local hardware store and buy one?
They don't sell them.
Okay. Oh, well,
yeah,
okay.
That's where he's going right. with that. Yeah, are you a man of science at all? Or a DIY person?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Because
so you need to tell them about.
Are you
going to
talk about your dumb shit?
But it worked.
No,
and in a world where you have no alternative,
it's Bacchety though,
right?
It's very Bacchety.
In a world
idea.
With no alternative, what better time than now?
Tell him about your steampunk solution.
Okay, so get this. All right, get this. You take your fan. You head on down to your local hardware store. You buy some copper tubing and you wrap it in a circular spiral like formation. Okay.
Right.
You then
he's never going to
take the spiral and you use zip ties to zip tie it to the front of your fan. Okay. And then
I
when
just
you
made a Twitter poll and no, yeah.
Yeah. And when you do that, you then run some plastic tubing straight into a cooler. If you have a styrofoam cooler, that'll do. If you have a good plastic cooler, that'll do too. You put ice water in that cooler, you siphon one end through the fan's copper tube wiring. The other end out your window into your garden, you suck. You start the circuit going. You turn on the fan.
Like you siphon it like with your mouth.
With your mouth.
Yeah.
See, it's the
and
only
then
thing that
the water leaks out your door into your garden. You water your plants or whatever. The fan is now spraying cooled air.
Ice
and
water,
vapor
basically.
Mist into your apartment
if
or
you're
room.
Near your game systems, you might not want to do this.
So, Wooly,
and you cool down the room with ghetto air conditioning.
So, Wooly,
all you need is ice.
I have an idea
that
for
is
you.
Quite impressive.
You should make a tutorial on how to do this on Wooly Versus.
that would be really fun. Yeah,
I'm never going to be doing it again. But
you can do it for a video.
Oh,
do it. Oh. That would be really entertaining.
That sounds relatively complex, you just described.
Verbally complex, super simple when you visually see it.
If I remember, I can guarantee it would just say Klemp's found dead. Just Klemp's found dead in his room.
Like the copper tubing is wrapped around your neck and you're like, how did I get myself killed?
Yeah.
So I have something to say about air conditionings. I might have stumbled upon LUP 2.0 now.
Oh, God.
On Kickstarter, there is this portable, revolutionary, small air conditioner called the Zero Breeze. And I found it, and I saw, wow, that looks really cool. The funding had ended. It was like, all right, we're shipping them out now, but you can still buy in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool, you know what? My air conditioner still works, but it's big, it's noisy, the cats don't like it. It's, you know, it's always
You have the one that I used to have, which is the giant one for weird window units that's not as good as a real window unit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good, but like, you know, whatever. It cools the place down. But I'm like, oh, let's just get this one. Plus, you can, since it's so portable and small, like, you basically, it's handheld. You just grab it. It's got like a GameCube fucking handle on it. And it's like bluish purple, so it looks like a GameCube. But I can, oh, I can bring it in the fucking bedroom, and then that could be not hell now. So I bought two, right? One for there, one for there. And I'm like, I'll wait it out until they come, because it says they're shipping now. And then just nothing happens. And then I'm like, okay, it's getting hot now. Just give me some updates. Anything. Just something. And then it's just like, hey, everyone, our units are not ready, despite us saying they're shipping now. And I'm like, okay, all right, everyone gets one of those. Mm. That's fine. All right, now it's now. You know, this was in May.
Where we're walking through occasional 31 to 35 degree days in Montreal with 100% humidity.
So, exactly. I get an update saying, hey, they're done, but not going to send them yet.
What is up with you?
Yeah. It was more like... We have these manufacturing concerns from China, and we don't want to bring you a faulty product that'll explode.
It turns out that these ACs just spray lead mist at you.
Exactly. So right now, the current update is in 1 month.
Right.
That's going to be summer almost over. And I will die. But
it's
whatever.
It's mid-June now.
Fuck it. Fuck it. I just put in the other AC unit. And I'm like, if they come, they come. I'll still use this even though
I'm
sick of it.
Just put that one on your desk and have it blow right in your face. Doesn't
work. Important detail I almost forgot, Mr. Klemps. The water has to be above the tube that's going out.
Remember.
Because gravity is how siphoning works. So if the water is below the out tube, suck. It won't go through.
Do the tutorial, and then you smash cut in the middle of the tutorial, and you're in the hospital. It's like somehow. Don't explain it. That's a money idea, I think.
There you go.
I checked, I'm just not crazy. I checked on Twitter, and everybody from Europe is like, it's not hot enough usually to justify it. I guess that is true.
In some places, hot, like Greece, it gets hot. Spain, it gets hot.
It just sucks when it gets as hot as it like gets over there here, because there's nothing we can do but just put on like household fans.
I also think Europeans are generally like fucking super tough with this, and they're like, I can handle this.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going
to
say disgusting.
I don't know, though. Risking fan death is a pretty high price to pay.
Dude. Yeah.
Fan death.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say, oh, the thing about Europeans is they're disgusting.
No.
Well, I'm not saying that, but Wikipedia did teach me about the great stink. I heard about that. I read
the
about
great
that.
Stink. Like, oh, yeah, that was a rough time.
Have you not heard about the great stink?
Oh, no. Thems were the
that
days.
Was when the River Thames was so polluted and disgusting that the sewage smell and the heat of one summer created a bile toxic smell that covered the entirety of London.
It's a national
when
holiday
was this?
Now.
This was 100 or so years ago, Clark.
Oh, okay,
so
I thought you were going to say days.
And it was so bad.
I thought months.
It was so bad that like they straight up like had to run an emergency cabinet meeting type thing to put laws into place to deal with the great stink.
What do we do about the poison cloud that Churchill punched? Remember what I was talking about for that for the crown when the fucking poison fog rolled in and Churchill just started fucking punching it and fighting it?
Okay.
And just saying, it's nothing. It's just whatever. Like, I can, don't worry about it. And then, like, more people got sick and, like, hospitals were overcrowded and it took Churchill to go to a hospital, see everyone puking their guts out. He's like, okay, it might be a problem, you know? Nah. So. Just reminds me of the great stink and like the great fog. Yeah.
Welcome to my Ganges great country. we stink and we don't have air conditioning. I'm sorry.
But not having air conditioning makes you stink more.
Yeah, but you have snatch.
Just powder up.
That's all the
powder
difference
your wigs.
In the world.
Powder up. You'll be good. That's what it's for. Okay.
You brought us Spice Girls. I will always be thankful to your country, sir.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, I have to point this out because I don't know if you guys have it.
I thought you were
going to
say I live with a Spice Girl.
Go for it.
No, there's this one comedy show that I think is like only in England. I'm not sure if it's like in Europe. It's called Bo Selector, and they do parodies of the Spice Girls in it. And when you have time, I want you to type in Spice Girls Mel B. It is Bo Selector is so lowbrow comedy, but they do comedy with masks, and Mel B just looks absolutely grotesque. Just Mel B has like a giant...
Because Mel B is scary Spice, yeah?
Yeah.
Just like a giant pot belly, ginger hair, giant nerdy glasses. He goes, how do? It's me, Mel B!
Lowbrow comedy, we're in. We'll watch that.
All I know is
it is really, really funny. Like, it's again, it's really lowbrow, but it's like the most guiltiest pleasure comedy for me. It's really good. I love it so much.
I heard that she pissed on Bear Grylls' arm.
That whole part on Mel B.
Yeah.
Classic Mel.
Because he faked getting stung.
Oh, no, okay. No,
he faked getting stung by...
faked.
By whatever...
By another English
I don't know,
person.
Like a jellyfish or some bullshit, and then she had to pee to sterilize it.
I remember reading an article about, like, jelly stingologists or whatever the fuck they're called, and they're like, not only does that make it worse, but we can't figure out where that fucking myth came from.
Friends,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
That might be it.
Don't pee on a jellyfish.
Not content with his own pee. He has to get Spice Girl pee. Anyway.
Very potent.
Well, you sound like we need to take a special message.
Well, I'm glad that you are getting savvy to the game, sir, because...
You get a certain look in your eye.
There's a...
Certain beads of sweat come down his head.
There's a word that needs to be taken.
What word is that?
One from our sponsors.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Shock and awe. Gasp! Gasp, I say, because Audible is the service that brings the future to you.
Oh, man, I love Audible.
To your ears, specifically.
It is shocking how amazing you can improve your ability to go through books by using Audible.
You know why it's shocking? Because audiobooks use electricity.
Yeah, I guess they do.
And of course, when I say that, I mean specifically audible.com/bestfriends.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Audible.com/bestfriends. Forget that I said anything else. Because Audible, as you know, is the one way to save the future. Because what's happening right now?
Trees are getting cut down.
Why are they getting cut down?
Because Game of Thrones is popular or some shit.
And it's like, fuck that, right?
Yeah, man.
At the end of the day, we're watching the show. And sure, they're based on some old tree-murdering books. But really, why wouldn't one want to just listen to Game of Thrones? Why wouldn't one want to hear that entire saga?
Oh,
spoken in with an Englishman's voice.
I got one.
What?
Why would you want to read The Disaster Artist when you can listen to the best impersonation of Tommy Wiseau?
Now, Matthew McMuscles, tell me.
Oh, boy.
What you're gaining by listening to the audio version of The Disaster Artist.
You are gaining Mark, the actor, doing a... better than Tommy Wiseau accent, because he listened to over like 12,000 hours of Tommy's recorded answering machine messages. So he got the accent down pat. So you are gaining a better than Tommy Wiseau insight into his own accent/personality.
Only available by listening, not by reading.
That's true.
Fuck your eyes. That's garbage.
I'm going to go sign up right now.
And if you're not down with that, you
suck it.
Well, no.
Oh, hey, man. No,
but you have an incredible like selection with amazing performances.
You do.
And you've got a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're heading on down to audible.com/bestfriends is the greatest way to try out this amazing new future technology and see for yourself. You got a long bus ride. You got a commute. You got things to
it's
do.
Perfect.
And you want to listen and learn and maybe laugh at the same time. Audible.com/bestfriends, you guys. It's not hard.
Thanks, Audible.
Wow, what a great service.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Saving the trees of tomorrow today. And with that,
do all of us have a wheeze laugh?
I think Wooly, I'm not sure if Wooly has it, but I super have it. You have
do.
It, and Clem's has it.
And no, Wooly has
is
the
no. I have
high pitched hyena.
I have hyena, and I have like Eddie Murphy.
You also have quiet.
There's that.
You also
too.
Have like your belly just.
I can't
and
control
you fall
that
over
shit. I can't.
Yeah,
I can't control the way the air escapes my body,
you
man.
Can, but it's hard.
You can.
I
come
I
on breathing.
Like,
come on.
You can't make.
I sound
me.
Like I'm a. I sound like I'm a wicked old witch.
No, you sound all right.
I get what he means.
You know,
like he's a
oh, there yeah, yes. Like, oh, they're fucking announcing a sequel to the Bette Midler witch movie. Oh, I get to be in it.
When I actually like proper belly laugh, I sound like Ricky Gervais. And I'm ashamed.
Oh yeah, and another and James Small laughs like that too.
He
maybe
does,
maybe
he
that's
does.
A British thing.
It could be.
Maybe
could
that's
be.
A British thing.
Hmm. Maybe.
Anyway, let's rotate around, shall we? Matt, tell us what you did with your week.
I watched The Room again.
Damn straight you did.
Good choice.
I watched The Room with some friends. So I have the DVD version of it, and I found never-before-seen results on the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
There is an interview with Tommy Wiseau on it, deleted scenes that I didn't know about. Well, I did, but I didn't know that they were committed to, like, I didn't know they were available.
You knew there were deleted scenes. You didn't know you could get them.
They filmed the Chris R. drug scene in the fake alley.
Originally.
They just filmed it again.
Wait, what? Why?
So when they constructed the alley set for when they play catch and whatever,
yeah.
They then tore it all down. And then Tommy later is like, no, let's do the drug scene again and build the alley again.
Oh my
we
God.
We tore it
Tommy.
Down, Tommy. I built it
Tommy.
Again.
Tommy, stop.
So I was, it's the exact same scene. It's actually slightly different in like the acting. It's the same thing, but it was like, it's nice to see a different perspective on that watershed moment on cinema. So we watched that. The interview with him is hilarious because all it is Greg Sestero asking questions. And then there's like text to say, what are your opinions about people that don't like The Room? Then it cuts to Tommy and he'll be giving this interview, but the interview will be have 1,000 cuts in it. Cause they can only take some bits that make any logical sense. So he's like, oh, everyone has opinions, but you know, if you don't like The Room, then I love you. Like, it's just nonsense interview. So very, very excited. Just find new content, new nuggets. So
God bless him.
God bless that alien.
Have you seen his new movie? Or I shouldn't say his new movie, but the new movie he's starring in.
No, I saw the trailer. You mean it's called Best Friends, I actually think?
That's what I'm... Yeah, mm-hmm. the
yeah.
trailer. Mm-hmm.
I saw the trailer. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre. Like,
R in brackets,
weird
of
way.
Course.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they might just be best fiends.
Yes,
it's very strange.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. Is it out anywhere? Like, is it out in Europe or...
I was more talking about the trailer.
Yeah,
but it looks very, very
it's
bizarre.
It's not like, doesn't look like The Room. It looks like the people from The Room decided to make a movie. Like the characters in The Room, Mark and Tommy, said, hey, now that Lisa's gone, or I'm resurrected, I guess, we'll make a movie.
It's a redemption arc.
It's a redemption tale, basically. aside from that, I celebrated Father's Day with my two dads, Terry Bogard and Geese Howard. It's weird. Had a good time, drank a bunch of food, and ate a bunch of alcohol.
Are you implying that you're Rock Howard?
I am not. I'm implying that they are who they are. I'm just Matt.
God damn it.
Just Matt, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not... I played a bunch of arms.
I want to see Matt do the fucking wings pose.
I cannot. I'll fall over my ass. I played a bunch of arms, streamed it with Liam. Something that's really, really interesting, if you play a bunch of party mode, which is like, you know, you did it during the global test punch, that it puts you in the, you know, 2v2, then it puts you into the basketball dunking thing. And mm-hmm. then in the full version, you do the target heading, which is actually really, really fun because they put a lot more mechanics into target heading than you would think. That's really fun because you can kind of attack people from the other side of the arena and stop them from hitting more targets because you try to get a better point total. Okay. So after all these fun games and just throwing you into random stuff, then we're like, okay, you and me, one versus one, local, let's go. And then it just like it just changes suddenly from like fun party, we lost that one, and then just really tense. We're not talking. And when I started, like, so I played the Global Test Punch. And then, like, I, you know, didn't research anything more, didn't look up any further videos. I'm like, I'll play it when I play it. So I took the Pro Controller, and I'm playing, like, a pre-round before we started streaming. And I'm like, ah, yeah, I'm a little rusty. Okay, so you just do this, you do that. And then Liam, God bless him, tells me, oh, yeah, I see, Matt, I see what you're doing wrong. You're, like, curving your punch, but you're stationary. You got to, you know, do this. And I'm like, thanks. Yeah, no, I'll do that. And then when we did the 1v1, I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to get killed. So, like, I dominate Liam, like, two matches. And he's like...
Shouldn't have given you that advice, huh?
He's like, okay, yeah. So, but then we go back and forth for a bit, but we had some really, really great matches. And the other standout thing of it is when you play party mode, Wooly, what do you know about Headlock?
Headlock?
There is an optional mega boss that is a giant Ultron head or Brainiac.
Is this the final boss that was like secretly revealed or whatever?
It is not. Max Brass.
Because I kind of saw a link to the final boss revealed and it was a spoiler link, so I didn't click on it.
It is not. A Headlock is a special AI that shows up in party mode where it forces you to have 3v1 against him. And it's this giant Ultron head / Brainiac's, like, you know,
it's a giant fucking head.
It adds 6 arms on top of a character. It's a head possesses another arm's character. And it has different levels. Like, we started fighting at level 5, which is basically the middle point of the difficulty tier. It starts to 1 and ends at 7.
Yeah.
So you fight 5, and it forces it to be 3v1 because that's the only way. Because he has 6 arms.
Okay.
So he's shooting arms at all on all sides and is able to control them. And everyone's just like, oh, shit, and you can get a ton of XP from killing this thing. And it only shows up randomly in party mode.
Interesting.
We fought him like 5 times, and they're like, pray for death if Headlock attaches to Max Brass, the real final boss, which looks like Destroy Man / who's the villain against Captain Falcon? In Vefsir.
Black Bolt, or Samurai. Yeah.
And his arms are made out of championship belts. You know? So had a real blast doing that. I also played a shitload more of Friday the 13th. So I have an updated report on how all those games are because a lot of people ask me, like, should I get the console versions or wait?
Which one is fucked up?
Steam version is basically perfect, no real problems with it. Matchmaking is fast and no real drop games. I played the PS4 version a bit more, nothing, found games, no real issues to report, but I only played it for like 3 or 4 matches. The Xbox One version, you can find matches, it's not too bad, but tons of drop games, the host dropping out. Just as a match finishes, we don't know whether the XP keeps, but you get booted out hard to the Xbox One dashboard.
So it's a hard-ass crash.
It just shoves you there in like 2 seconds, and I don't think you get the XP, even if you've won the match, even if you escape. So that's a fucking problem. Mm-hmm. 30% of the time it does this. So that's the biggest issue right now. But you can get matches on all of them. They're still all fun. The PC version is obviously the best one.
So this game is great when it's not shitting the bed.
As long as you're playing the Steam version,
hey, Matt,
no
and I
problems.
Both have that game now.
Okay.
I didn't spend like my entire weekend trying to get into it. But
do you also wanna let us know about
your super cool secret project?
About a special version of a special character.
Special version. So. This morning I wake up and I'm like, I just played it all night with Leanna. She's on the one Xbox in our bedroom and I'm on the one in the living room.
Oh, I forgot you had two. Yeah, that's hell.
Because we do that for Overwatch and we do it for this now too. So we're having fun doing that. And she was like, yeah, I'm super into this. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. We get up the next morning today and it just says, hey, sorry for all these troubles. Here's a ton of free DLC this week.
Sweet.
Starting tomorrow, I think.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's $13,000 to spend on stuff in the game.
Jeez.
So to roll a perk for your counselors, which is what I find is the most useful, it costs 500 points to roll a perk.
That's a lot of dollars.
So they give you 13,000, and you can also buy kills with Jason for that, but I mean, those are more... You know, now, there's no functionality there. They're just different kills for the sake of being cool.
From what I understand, due to what was referred to as the troubles with the launch, the NES version of Jason is also being rolled out.
The big reveal is that there's a cabin and fucking NES Jason. I wish it was like the 3D bad sprite, but it's just the recolor of like the bright purple suit and the greenish blue mask, and he'll have his own stats. He shows up. They're going to have a special chip tune for whenever you play as him, which is really cool. Yeah, Pat, check it out.
The worst pack.
And also there's going to be a double XP weekend coming up for this, and you get a bunch of free DLC costumes for some of the counselors, because some of those are high unlocks, so you have to be like level 50 to unlock like the counselor's like 13th costume or whatever.
Right.
So all of this is free, and I'm like, that's exact, like, if you have a rough launch, you should probably do this. Because none of that stuff is that like would cost them that much development time or anything, but anyone would appreciate it. And like, now that the Steam version is like pretty much perfect for me, I'm gonna be playing a bunch of this week. So
right, cool. Well, that's a nice gesture on their part too.
It is.
Oh my god, that apologize. Jason looks so stupid.
You don't remember Purple Nest Jason?
Oh, I do.
Because I have the action figure of him that looks the blue exactly skin like that.
Yeah,
the original chiptune track created by Mitch Murder. I don't know who that is, but. That's cool. And the last thing, I saw a movie called Kedzi, which is Turkish, I believe, for cat. And it was a movie that was made aware to me by Comic Book Girl 19. She said, go see Kedzi if you like cats or pets in general, go see it. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically a very loose documentary that just it does two things. It is a advertisement, like, look how amazing cats are.
Yeah.
And the other one is, look how beautiful Istanbul is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it has all these gorgeous, like...
So would you say the alternate title is, like, hanging out with cats in Istanbul?
Several reviews of the movie say this movie is hanging out with cats in Istanbul.
How do you spell that?
K-E-D-I.
Okay.
I think it has an English name, but we saw it at the local theater
just
nearby.
Just because that's not super clear.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it was just, it follows like a couple of cats and their stories. Like, this one's a real bitch. This one's a psycho. This one paws at a restaurant window, never comes in, even if the door's open, paws at it just to go, I need some food. Like, please.
Aww.
Right now. Like, if you don't mind. There's one that's like, I am a fucking mouse killer. I'm a slaughterer. Bring me to your restaurant. I'll get rid of the issue. I'm a cleaner.
Okay.
That's so cool.
Okay.
So it was very, very good. It's probably rock and roller. A very small release.
When are you going to get a cat, Wooly?
Yeah.
It's got cats now.
Well, I mean, I'd probably sooner get a dog personally, but...
dog would probably not be good in your place, though.
But I mean, it's not like it hasn't been discussed, but I would prefer a dog just because it doesn't like... sneak out of nowhere and jump off my head and like possibly come from like underneath the chair and shit
you should get like
you gonna finish that sentence or
I'm getting excited because I'm thinking about dogs.
Okay. Wooly, well, that's
Wooly,
fine.
Wooly, I just here, I, look at me. Mm-hmm.
Get a bat. Good boy.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, if I can get him
your place has all the cool raptors.
If I can
and shit.
Get him to land on my arm like a falconer, I'm
a
super
bat.
Down for
bats
a flying
are super
animal.
Cute.
I'm down for a flying animal. That's cool.
Not a bird. Get a bat.
Well,
a bird.
Depends on the kind of bird. Depends,
I
don't
know,
on,
yeah, depends but on the kind of bat.
Birds are assholes.
I've seen this recent surge recently on my timeline of people just buying like cockatiels and stuff like that, and they look so sweet and affectionate. Like one of them just sits. She's called Monica. Monica Franco, I think. On Twitter.
Oh yeah, I know Monica.
Monica's a super sweetheart. Sits on her shoulder and like nuzzles into her hair when she works. It's like, I didn't know birds were like that. What a bird now.
Yeah, but totally. Clemps, you're gonna be like, oh, such a cute bird. I'm glad I got it. And then you wake up the next morning with no eyeballs. Like, what do you? Who picks up the pieces after that?
I mean, again,
not you, because you got no eyeballs.
You're the least qualified to pick up those pieces.
I think it would just start a war with my cat. What? I felt so bad this morning because it's so boiling hot. She's finding it hard to find cool places, so I just got the second fan and pointed it directly at her, and she hasn't moved since. She has been flying flat in front of that fan, and it's so sweet.
She's splooting.
Also, I would fear for the lives of the little dogs in my apartment or in my building if I got Pet Shop and had him posted up at the door. Those dogs are in trouble.
No one's going to rob your apartment at Pet Shop.
So Willie goes down to the SPCA, and he's like, all right.
Give me Pet Shop.
I want Pet Shop.
So
I'll put a helmet on him and everything.
You got your dogs that got lost. You got your mutts off the street. Do you have any stand users? Sir? You mean a dog that stands up?
Either that or just casually stroll through the animal shop with an arrow, just poking things and seeing what happens.
Would you want Iggy?
Iggy would be fine. I mean, chewing gum for farts. I can deal with that.
I don't know how you are with Boston Terriers, Willie, but they like make the loudest stupid noises all the time.
Oh, I believe it.
Could be not great.
You wouldn't want to get one of those gun rats. That would be a problem.
Gun rats, yeah.
You wouldn't.
What's
this?
Never mind. You said the better.
Are you not of the JoJo persuasion, Mr. Crumbs?
Oh yeah, I've only recently gotten into JoJo. I finished all the seasons, recently caught up, but I'm not a religious watcher. I think it's good. I just think that when I wasn't part of a JoJo fandom, seeing tons of people spam memes from it really got under my skin. So I was like, I'm gonna watch this series now and like get in with it. And I was like, it's not too bad. Because
that
I
happens if
with
you
the,
join late on a fan base, and a fan base kind of over exaggerates it a little bit.
Well, yeah,
is
seriously,
is that a fucking JoJo reference?
Yeah. Oh my god, that's the thing that really gets under my skin. I kept on seeing people post it, and like I never said it because I know that if I met, oh here we go. now it's happened
under your skin. Hey Clems, that's a great JoJo reference from part 4. It's awesome.
No. But yeah, basically that's it. Was just it's the same kind of vein where back in the day where if an animator did something, they're all going, this is like Ego Raptor. It's the same thing to me where it's like, can references not just be references? You know, and but no, like I started off with the first season. I wasn't a big fan of it, so I dropped it.
Okay.
But I picked it up halfway through again. And I think I dropped it before the episode where Dio freezes that guy's legs. And I was like, maybe we're onto something here.
Okay.
Well, you dropped it at the shittiest part in the whole fucking
thing. Yeah, exactly. I got really burnt out.
The context is generally that there are some animals with superpowers sometimes. That's all.
I'd like a superpower animal, please.
Yeah.
I
just had a few more things to say. Okay. The last thing that I forgot to mention that was specific to me with Stormblood is that for whatever reason, people were getting people were actually getting blue screens as a result of like getting kicked out of the server and like their PCs would crash. But for some reason, with my Windows PC and my setup and everything to do with it, this would turn off my primary hard drive for like 20 minutes. So it would boot into BIOS and say that my fucking SSD doesn't exist.
That's bad.
That's bad. Which freaked me the absolute shit out. So that was a fun extra. As for the content of Stormblood, it's fantastic. Like every dungeon that I've run is some of the best in the game so far.
Just wait until it's not in early access.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
The bosses I fought are astounding. Like everything in it I like. I disagree with a lot of the class balance stuff, but we'll see. Anything else? I fucking beat my head. I watched the first episode of the Attack on Titan 2 season when everyone on my Discord went to sleep, and I still wanted to stay up and mash this shit. Mm-hmm. So that's a really strong start to a season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Way stronger than I'll talk around this, but usually when there's a big cliffhanger at the end of Attack on Titan season 1 that it's like the first thing that you see when the episode starts. And not only that, they go, hey, by the way, you thought it was going to be that boring episode where everyone talks about the problem and they're like, what did that cliffhanger mean? And then it immediately goes, no, fuck that.
Yep.
Look at this shit. This is crazy out here. And you're like, okay, wow.
And what about that last thing? Oh, we already figured that shit out.
Figured it out. Just
we're moving forward without you.
How does
viewer.
That thing? Oh, it makes that stuff. That's what it.
That's
okay,
what that
oh,
was. That's... Forget that. Now this.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
They go you because it goes from because the problem is like you expect like there'd be like anything else would have five episodes going
recapping what happened.
Well, like no, like what is that? Right. And they figure it out immediately and go, okay, that's what that is. And so the more interesting question is, why is it like that?
Why is that?
And then they go, okay, well, and then instead of everybody arguing, they have 1 3-minute scene where they try and figure it out. And then they go, okay, whatever. Back to the sick action scene over here.
Yeah. And so, like, I've stopped talking about it because I'm waiting for the whole thing to wrap up.
Isn't it almost done?
Almost done. But, like, all that squeeing I did a couple weeks ago over some really, really excellent examples of what I find to be choice writing, there was a nice culmination of events where, like, I don't know how else to describe it besides like one of the most human moments I've ever seen like
oh, wow.
an antagonist have that I'm just so impressed with because I'm like this I didn't expect this from this type of show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at all a dumb action show, but it certainly isn't a place where I'd expect to go like, wow, that was better than a lot of examples of writing
mm-hmm.
I've seen in recent years with this one moment that this character has. And it really is impressing me because my bar for expectation is not very high in the sense that it's matched where the first one was, or it's mm-hmm. fun anime. I'm expecting fun anime.
Fun anime with some like astonishingly slow episodes that like in between your set pieces.
And it's starting to display like just awareness with the right way to reveal more about this world and mm-hmm. the characters and the plot. And like it's doing so in a manner that you're like, I can really believe the way you're sprinkling this information out to me.
Did anybody in here watch Eyepatch Wolf's video on why the hell Attack on Titan became popular?
I did.
I would love to talk for a second about Eyepatch Wolf.
Sure.
Just about how much. Don't say no. Stop. he's a good boy. No. I just wanted to talk about.
God,
how
it's
much
it's the old days of fucking England versus
wherever
Ireland
the fuck.
And,
no, not at all. I was actually going to say how much of an absolute sweetheart he is. Me and Eyepatch have been talking a lot recently, and he has been helping me out so much that I just want to hug him and give him a big old kiss. He's so sweet. Like, I was really, really nervous about the Patreon, and he took the time out of his day just to call me up and run me through everything that he knew. He got me into Hunter x Hunter, which I heard that's a bit of a mixed thing on here. But, if you're talking about antagonists who have like arcs which shock you, I think that's me with the Hunter x Hunter Chimera Ant arc.
Okay.
That made. All I'll say about that is that when it got to the end, and I knew there was an arc after that, I just dropped it because it was so perfect, I didn't want it to go on. I was like, right, that is probably the best villain arc I have ever seen in an anime. And I loved it. And I was so happy with how it turned out.
It's funny because he told me, like, he said he brought it up on the podcast about how the inspiration for that video was the salt he had at me for going on
so
about
funny.
Hunter.
He said that to me as well.
I mean, all I'll say is he's a good man, but, you know, considering that you serve the queen and all, watch out, he might put a bomb in your potato. All right?
No. He's plotting something.
All right.
I was going to say though is that he does the Attack on Titan. What makes it popular? And one of the points that he puts out is that Attack on Titan is a very because it's a manga adaptation, right? And there's been a lot of manga adaptations, some good like this and others like Berserk.
What do you mean?
Which continues? You see that fucking fucking fish monster that.
I did. It was great. What do you?
That one's next level. That's
how does it keep going?
So how does it keep getting worse?
So bad. I don't know what you guys.
But one of the things that he points out is that Attack on Titan's like basic story structure and flow is like perfect for anime adaptation. And one of the things that is it's one of its greatest strengths as the anime is that like the art in the manga is not good.
It is. It's
so I've heard.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've heard so I've heard it's weak. I've heard it's weaker.
Like, and
it's,
and
it's funny.
Shows a lot of examples of the art in Attack on Titan. It's pretty mediocre to poor.
And it's the kind of thing where it's like, if I couldn't do any better, but it's kind of impressive how the creator of Berserk could do a better manga when he was 10.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like,
Also, that new intro, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How about that? Okay. So, yeah, keep watching. Keep watching. Nothing but smiles ahead.
So, yeah, just fighting Stormblood's launch and watching a tiny bit of Attack on Titan. That's it for me.
Okay, I'll...
Stormblood's good now. It's fixed. They fixed it. Until tomorrow when the people who didn't pre-order the game get in and it breaks again.
Okay. I'll take the baton.
What's the Funko Pop count?
Where you at, man? Where you at? Where you at?
That will be revealed on the channel.
Where you at?
As it's revealed, I'm not going to say
all
anything.
I just want to know.
Reveals will be reveals.
Did you find the shiny?
If I can try to get this in an orderly manner.
Okay. He's not talking about
it. This week I played and sat down and tried to get some training mode proper in with Rev 2, Guilty Gear Xrd, Rev 2, excuse me. Got my bike in training in, got my bike in going, trying to get those dust loops down. The thing about her that, because I can speak more so about her than I can about the game in general.
Yeah.
Because it's Xrd. Because
you've been playing the Biken video game.
And it's still, you know, it's Xrd. But, like, with Biken in particular, it's a really interesting mentality shift that you need because of the way they change the character around. Mm-hmm. And the basic premise is that originally Biken was a character that would... she'd have multiple alpha counters, I'll use that term to say. When you block with her, you can then do specific special moves off of her block, right? She can move away from you. She can maneuver around you, rather. She can knock you back. She can do a couple different types of attacks. That was, I guess, deemed to be, like, too easy, you know, too, like, mm-hmm. reliable as a way to counter people. So now you have to, instead of react to what's happening, mm-hmm. you have to predict what's about to happen and preemptively put in a parry.
So does she have a bunch of moves that are the equivalents, but instead of coming out of block, they have guard points?
They're off of a parry input.
Okay.
So it's the same thing they did to Ryu in 5 with a predictive input parry input. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be this is going to be the way to handle this type of thing going forward in fighting games, where simply reacting to what's happening to you is
too powerful.
Too powerful, unless it costs you bar, mm-hmm. right? So to really show off how sick you are, you got to predict what's about to happen, and then
Yomi is the Japanese word for reading the mind of the opponent.
Exactly. And the window that you have to input your specials while you block is like very small, so it's a bit of a harder character to use, but. Otherwise, still fun. New supers, fun to use, and I still enjoy the basics of it. But I definitely just I'm having a hard time, like instead of reacting to what's happening, getting myself in the mindset of like anticipating it. Because mm-hmm. certain characters, you have to do that, and she wasn't one of them. But mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is. That's great.
How shit are you? Be honest. Are you okay?
I'm still better with Sid.
Yeah, okay. I hate that!
I'm better with the substitute character than I am with the one that I want to be.
Definitely not unique to fighting games. Yeah. Oh, the cool new thing came out. I'm going to play. Oh, I suck with the new one.
It's rough.
Oh, I hate that fucking feeling.
I'm going to get my clock cleaned by Octopimp, but I'm going to try. The other thing I did with my week was, you know, of course, continue playing Tekken. Went out to check out some of the weeklies, got to watch what's happening with that. It is amazing to see tons of characters putting so much work into these advanced perfect juggles and amazing long combos, and to watch Paul just walk up and go, launch, and do the exact same damage.
It's hilarious.
I wish I could do fighting games.
Paul's right hand.
One punch, just input the fucking, like, one Hadouken motion, and you don't need a combo.
Paul's right hand has been carrying players for like 20 years.
Unbelievable. It's just fun because the effort in the juggle and the quality, and everyone applauds and goes, wow.
Well, there was a video that came out of like him on Twitter. It was like some 10-second thing of like his bread and butter launcher into the most damage you can do with a standard combo juggle does like way less than just doing the
punch,
right hand.
Baby. Just the
it's
punch.
Like, it's not even easier. It's not even easier compared to other characters. It's like optimal in a bunch of situations.
And that's that. I mean, I'm getting some pointers and sort of watching the Tekken community do their thing and learning about how, you know, if you have habits from 2D games and you bring them into Tekken, you're like standing still in Tekken is better than holding down back.
Mm.
That's how bad you get blown up for crouch blocking like a normal 2D game. You know?
That's what I've been doing. I've been wondering, like, because I bought Tekken, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm having fun with it, but I'm so bad.
Yes,
bad.
If you rely on like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat habits, and you just go, I'm just going to block low because that should block most things, right?
Oh.
You're so dead.
No, because
standing still is better.
Billion mids.
I think I've done like 15 matches online, and out of those I've won about maybe 3 or 4. I'm really good.
That's not bad for Tekken.
That's
actually
honestly
I like how Tekken's online too shows you a quick little like your last 10 matches.
Yes,
you know, so
when you load into that versus match and the guy you're playing against is all golds and you're like, okay,
yeah
you're like, all right,
but you're at the same rank.
Yeah.
You know, this is a rank up match and you're at my level, but you have all golds. That means you won your last 10 matches.
It's still early in the game. It might be like you're marked as my level, but you're just walking.
You're working your way up. Yeah. Exactly.
You're just on your way to the top to be.
I'm a step that you're launching yourself off of. I think it gives you more information than the Street Fighter method of just showing a win streak.
Absolutely.
Because a win streak is nice, but, you know...
Well, you get to see, like, oh, he had a really tough batch of matches a few matches ago. Like,
yeah.
He lost 3 in a row, and now he won 2 in a row. So maybe, you know, he's flaky, or I can...
Type thing, yeah. Exactly. And as usual, costumes are all fun and dandy, and you know.
Oh, the costumes are amazing. I just don't like the fact that you can't have a hat and dye your hair.
Oh, yeah, there's restrictions and stuff.
It stinks! I was trying to recreate a Dragon Maid character and it wouldn't let me.
They should, like, in a Tekken, like, 8, I guess, or maybe even as DLC for this one, they should just create, like, a fucking create a character at that point.
Like Soul Calibur.
Like Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur's was pretty good.
Hang on a minute. I mean, what franchise again? Sorry? Yeah. Soul Calibur? What? Sorry, pardon?
Don't remind me.
No, it's just the problem is what to do with that competitively.
Yeah, know? No.
That's always the issue. So. Dress up is fine.
Yeah.
Right now, my Steve is wearing a bomber jacket and cargo pants, and I fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like Leon Kennedy cosplaying right now.
Do you like the current explosion of GIFs coming out of everywhere Tekken of just like, look at this cool slowdown?
Yep.
Yeah. That's the main thing.
Leo doing this ridiculous unblockable that like Lucky Chloe, I think, dodges with part of her head and then gets knocked with the end of it. Like, it's breathing life into fighters.
They need this for every Tekken game going forward.
I feel like...
Furthermore, other games need to start copying it. Exert is currently the only one.
I think the only game I can think of that I don't, like, straight up don't want it in is VF. Because Virtual Fighter rounds are so fast. Like, when you KO somebody, you're in the next round fighting within, like, 4 seconds. Like,
Did you know that if you suck blood with Eliza, her cup size increases?
Shut up.
This is very interesting.
This is interesting to me.
I have to experiment.
Tech for Tekken.
Clumps is like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I literally slapped my hands together.
I brought you 3 sizes. That's what's up.
my eyes are glowing right now. I'm looking at my PS4. I'm getting ready.
Yeah.
I'm growing stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
P5 continues, and... Yeah, I went to YetiCon. Mm-hmm. I had a good time at YetiCon.
It looked like it was WetiCon.
More like WetiCon. You heard about that?
Well, I didn't hear about it. I saw about it. Like, every photo is just, it rained the entire time?
Unfortunately, this beach resort convention was, or more like mountain resort convention, was kind of plagued because God hated anime this weekend.
Well, he always does.
In particular, he took the wrath. His wrath came out this weekend. Yeah. And it was very much a very clear situation of, yeah, you can get in the pool, but do you really want to die for anime?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's a good idea. Don't do it. Thunder and lightning aggressively in really close proximity to the con.
So I remember.
So it's a high stakes, high reward con.
Absolutely. If you want to go out and show off your new Attack on Titan cape, you better be willing to fucking eat a Zeus bolt.
Now, right. I would actually,
that'd be an amazing.
This might
like,
be wrong, but I seem to have the same like mentality as Wooly that when I was growing up, I was told that like when you have a massive like ongoing thunderstorm with proper lightning all over, being in a pool dramatically increases your likelihood of actually getting hit by lightning. Now, granted, it puts it from 1 in 1 million to 1 in half a million.
They have to close the pool. That's the way it goes.
Oh, when I went to the Atlantis water park in Nassau, they're like, there's a storm coming. We will close everything the fuck down because you were in the entire point of this place is to be in water.
Yeah.
So, no shocking Thunderbolt Zeus things for us.
Also, perhaps reconsider wearing that League of Legends character costume with the giant metallic weapon.
I was just about to say.
Pointing to the sky.
To be fair, though, I think it would be really sick if someone like went cosplayed as Thor or something like that, like a metal hammer, just raised it to the sky and died that way.
That would be
this will
photo.
Be my final shoot. This is my was it? This is my final piece.
You get the shot of the super slow motion camera. It's like this is the one frame where they think it's working, and this is the next frame where their eyes are exploding out of their head.
I made a mistake.
Yeah. So speaking of making mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what is there to say, really?
What did you have? A moment of weakness, I would say.
Yep, that's a good way of describing it, in which some friends were able to peer pressure bully me into taking the purchased props I had of an Akatsuki robe and headband.
No,
the same ones that I used for my Wooly versus intro.
So what you're saying is that you came to this con with this costume already in your
luggage. Correct, yes. And
then you say you were peer pressured into wearing it.
Because the group was happening and they're like, you better fucking do it, Wooly.
Okay,
come on.
Right,
fuck you.
What are they going to do? A time when I came into this podcast room early for the podcast, and this is before the Wooly versus video in which he does his ninja run. And I walk in and there's a fucking Akatsuki coat just sitting on a fucking table. And I'm like, the fuck is it? Is this Billy's? What the fuck? And then Wooly comes in. I'm like, "Who's the fuck?" He's like, "Oh,
I had an orgy here last night.
This is my stuff. And just
don't
worry about
it.
I'm just gonna take it.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it, Mike." And I remember looking at you with like narrowed eyes and going, "Like, I think I'm worried about it."
Anyway, so we jumped on a gondola and went up to the top of a mountain
And you reenacted the entire Great Ninja War.
And prayed that the lightning would strike now. Now. Please, I've got the headband on. Now.
Well, he's like, at the very least, I want there to be a news article that says, many weird ninjas died at some mountain.
Unfortunately.
Police are accustomed to arresting Naruto cosplayers. Yeah. We all know that. You've seen those pictures, right?
No.
The Great Purge.
Yeah.
Great frying.
Unfortunately, you know, God did not see fit to put us out of our misery. And that photo was taken and tweeted out.
It was.
And that's
by you
for everybody.
We live in a bizarre era in which, let's say, Wooly has a bunch of grandkids and Wooly is a somewhat known public figure. We're going to be like, Dad, why are you dressed up like a grandpa? Why are you a dumb ninja? And you have to explain the fucking filler saga to them.
Yeah. You have to explain the great T race.
Tell your grandkids about the great T race and why that made you dress up with your headband.
Implying the live action series won't be reaching that point in the reboot of the reboot by that time.
Never thought about that before. The thought of, like, when you're older, having, like, grandparents who go to their grandkids, let me tell you about how Bleach started off really good. went downhill. Grandpa,
back in my day, before anime became real, we had to watch our anime on things like Crunchyroll.
Do you remember when it was fine, when it was just Hollows, and then they added all this other shit? Dad, just stop. They don't care. Dad.
Yeah.
Who's an Ichigo, man?
Instead of, you know how, like, my dad watches old war movies. Instead of that,
yeah,
it's going to be like your kid walking into somebody, like, crying over the ending of Gurren Lagann in, like, 30 years.
Look, man, I believed
in him.
Are you winning, Dad?
Yeah. That's how that goes. Total role reversal. Look, I invite myself to be called a lot of things every time I turn to my social media and choose to complete these actions.
You're telling your grandkids, like, don't watch Elfin Lied. I don't know what that is, Dad.
Hopefully one of those things is a good sport. That is all. And, you know, beyond that, it was, like, just whatever. Like,
cool.
Decent con otherwise, you know. Pool party was fun until the pool was closed. What are you going to do? All right.
Pool's closed.
Let's.
That's it.
Let's get in the news.
Let's. No, stop.
Oh, cool. Is that the song from Nothing
and
Nowhere?
Just shut up. Just let us have it. Right on. Dragon Master.
Oh, you mean the song that's not from Dragon Master at all?
Yeah.
The song featured nowhere on the soundtrack?
We can't talk about this yet.
Cool. Oh, yeah, because you have the OST to Dragon Master. You know.
There is something there.
I'm really like,
can't talk
one day
this.
We'll talk about it.
Not this day.
Hell no.
Actually, that day is today. If you go listen to the Dragon Charles video,
right,
where they're playing Dragon Master, and the song that Pat thought was from Dragon Master and Matt thought was from Dragon Master all the time was just a song not from that game at all that he put on the video.
All right, so if you know what song that is, you can give Wooly big ups by, like, solving this stupid argument.
I mean, we met Dragon Charles, like, I'm not sure if he's on Twitter, but I should just ask him straight up, like, do you remember what
song that was?
Well, yeah, watch him.
It's gotta be from something.
Watch him just be like, I don't fucking know, it's some bullshit.
I'm not
even
sure if he's the one that edits the video, but, like, whatever.
So, in the news, let's start off.
News.
Let's start off with the news that there's a JoJo OVA that's coming to DVD alongside the DVD release of part 4,
mm-hmm,
and it's the Rohan, Thus Spoke Kishibe Rohan manga adaptation. So it's not him at
that.
The Louvre, but it's the other little, like, special one-shot they did where he has all these mini-adventures.
Rohan's big day out.
Yo, like, they love Rohan,
yep,
and Rohan gets played and pushed over and over again, and no one hates it because Rohan's awesome.
He was a good character. Yeah,
he's great.
I liked him.
I like good old Rohan.
Yep,
he's a good boy.
So I would not be surprised if we did eventually get him at the Louvre, but I'm not holding my breath. I hope it happens though. Anyway, so that's fun. Little bonus JoJo things coming out soon. Keep your eyes peeled. June 28th is when, I guess.
That's in like 2 weeks, man.
That's going to air.
No, wait, dude, that's in like a week.
Wow,
man.
Yep, so that's coming up.
That's crazy.
Also, we have this weird news where.
It better be as weird as you're saying.
Okay, well, look, the context.
It's weird. He's Topher Wright.
The context for this requires a little bit of
explanation.
I'm looking
at the name of this report, and I think it's a massive, massive fucking.
So the
lie.
Report is that Atari CEO Fred Chesney confirms that Atari is working on a new console. And furthermore,
Atari meaning Infogrames.
So hold that thought, because
what?
I'm about to elaborate as fuck.
I don't know about this.
On that point.
If you could see my face right now.
Yeah, so they released a little 20-second teaser, and it's showing off like
a wood grain skin Atari
that and plastic that looks like an old
the
Atari
2600.
Right? So I'm expecting, because no one is like would expect this type of company to put out a proper competitor in this day and age, that this is going to be a collection of old games.
It's an Atari
it's
Mini.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's an Atari. I think it's an Atari Gotta Mini. Be. I think that's exciting.
In which case, I don't care. Like, don't get me wrong. I grew up playing an Atari when everyone was playing an NES. I got it super late, and I had to make do with it.
You but are
like
older
those,
than me.
Those games are like...
I was not. I was. Atari was before my time. But
no. It was before my time too. When everyone was enjoying their NESs, my parents were like, "Here's this fucking
hey,
shit
listen,
box."
As long as the fucking Pac-Man Atari port is on that, then like thumbs up for everybody.
But I just
what
I just want.
It's like the worst port.
Yeah, I just want everyone to be aware because
the port is bad.
Like if it is an Atari Mini, then hey, cool, whatever.
Maybe right? If it has every game, then maybe it that's could. Something worth it. But
it could. I mean, it would be money they're not making right now. So why not? But I just need people to be aware that the company making this called Atari is not Atari at all.
It's not
in any way, shape,
wait,
or form.
What? What the fuck?
The company that you currently know, if you because like I've been following this I hate it, but it's like
you love that you hate it though
because time goes on and everyone just forgets. But the company that is currently Atari has nothing to do with Atari.
And has never
That's
had anything
very
to do with Atari.
The original company that was Atari.
Run by Nolan Bushnell, etc.
Split what? Into two companies called Atari Games and Atari Interactive.
Oh.
Atari Interactive then got bought by Hasbro, but not as a whole company, just their properties and the name.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So Hasbro acquired their assets. After that, Infogrames, the fucking shitty Armadillo company, came along and bought Hasbro and then changed their now Hasbro Infogrames company name into Atari.
Also because Infogrames knew their name was such bullshit and everyone wanted to say Infogames. And they're like, no, it's Infogrames.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I refuse to say the name of your company.
Atari.
So, Atari. Everyone knows that name.
So
McDonald's.
Yeah.
So this is 3 degrees of separation removed from anyone involved with Atari or any policies or anything Atari actually was. And it was literally a purchase of a name to another purchase of a name to then use that name and call yourself Atari.
It's nonsense. Corporate shuffle.
Yeah, so,
that's really confusing.
So just be aware that for not one second is any of this actually Atari. And
but I guess they must have the back catalog or something.
They have the license to it, right? So it's just a part of the story that keeps popping up, and every time anything with Atari does pop up, they say so. They
Willie
say
he wants to let everyone know.
They say things along the lines of for the first time in 20 years, they're making a console or thing, or we're back in the hardware business. When it's like, no,
you were never
Infogrames
in it.
Infogrames was never in the hardware business. Fuck you, liars. That's not true.
It's really weird because I can't think of any company that changed its name or has this kind of situation that pretends that they used to be the old company.
I got a great one for you, really.
Scummy.
Because the last time this happened in a manner that was equally disgusting was Guitar Hero pretending to be Harmonix after Harmonix made Rock Band, but the Guitar Hero name was held onto by Activision. They then came out and were like, we're the original rhythm game series. Those Rock Band guys are trying to rip us off, but everyone knows Guitar Hero is the original thing. And it's like, you chuckle fucks. Harmonix, the developer, are the people that invented that, and you kept the name. How dare you?
There is another example. I'm not sure if it's like Insidious, but like there's another company called THQ Nordic.
Sure.
And they're calling themselves THQ, and everyone's like, no, but I know that they're dead. Like, no.
I saw it. I saw them die.
They hit him. Yeah. I saw it.
I checked the pulse myself.
But I don't think they say... I think they do actually say we're taking this name because people associate it with like a couple of the IPs that we were able to buy off THQ. Like I think Darksiders.
I think it might be THQ Nordic that's doing that.
So
it's the other example.
Just that's all. Just be aware, Atari in name only.
Okay.
Atarino. All right.
What a weird bit of news.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it, says Wooly.
That is super strange.
You know what I mean? Like Hudson got bought out, and like...
now they're back.
But
well,
like,
kind of.
Sure, but like when God,
there's Bloody Roar.
But what?
Oh, man, I'd kill for Bloody Roar.
But when it got bought, you know, they didn't change their name to Hudson to fucking pretend like this is our... You know what I mean? They didn't pretend they were the company. Like, it was just fucking... It's just a stupid thing, man. I hate that.
Like, stop lying or double down and lie even more. Like, have more ridiculous press releases that talked about the legacy that you... Like, don't even half-ass it at all. Just go full-blown and say, we were always Atari. Shut up.
Or do it like a new marriage and keep both last names.
Oh, like, yeah, merge them together. Hey.
Like Level 5 Comcept.
Yes.
No. Oh, that was a good segue.
Thank you.
This
Thank
is
you.
The story that we alluded to that we don't care about.
So, basically, after
no, keep it.
After Mighty Number 9.
After Recore.
Yeah, so Mighty Number 9 took the big bad hit, and then Recore took the big bad hit, and Red Ash is kind of just in the winds.
It's preparing itself for its own big bad hit.
And Kaio, King of Pirates.
That was the first game concept ever announced and has still never come out.
Lost marvelous $3.8 million. It hasn't been good. It
hasn't been good.
Oh, by the way, those PSP and or whatever, those handheld versions of Mighty Number 9, still on track for next year or whatever the fuck.
I think the update I saw was like, we hope they come out this year, but they might.
They've just given up. They've given up.
Yeah. So what we have now today is an announcement in the wake of like all this bad news they've been going through that Level 5 has acquired Comcept, and Level 5 is now known as Level 5 Comcept. And
like Namco Bandai.
This isn't completely out of nowhere because apparently Inafune has talked about this possibility before in the past. Way early on because like he's friends with the guy in charge of Level 5. I forgot his name. Mm-hmm.
The director of Dark Cloud.
Akihiro Hino. There we go.
Assume.
Yes. So their first project is a mobile game called Dragon Colonies, and hopefully they don't just become a mobile factory.
Why do you say that? So we can look forward to the amazing products, or
like I see this and I go, oh, cool! They tricked Level 5 into like dumping their money into a toilet instead
Level
of
5
Kickstarter.
No, I mean Comcept.
Oh yeah, but Level 5's legit.
No, that's the point.
I hope that the Level 5 part...
hasn't it been mostly been doing mobile stuff, and they released a Ni No Kuni 2, and that's it.
Yeah.
If there's other stuff, I'm not aware
of it. It's just that if anyone can salvage...
It's just that Level 5 is like
If there's anyone who can ruin Level 5...
If there's any salvaging to be done, it's coming from...
In the PS2 era, Level 5 was like starting to become like...
Like
as big as Square.
And they made those Inazuma 11 games that were super popular.
And Rogue Galaxy and all these big RPGs. And they were starting to get like their own convention or something. Like then just after that, like White Knight. Remember White Knight Chronicles on the fucking PS3?
Remember that? It was bad.
That game's bad, man.
It was not good. I feel bad for them, I guess, because Dark Cloud 1 and 2.
Well,
so
I mean, look, it's just
great.
You know, they can keep up like Professor Layton games and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
I forgot
that's
they made
yeah.
Like,
oh, look, I understand the Comcept logo. It's a sideways vampire fangs, and
I thought it was a magnet.
The blood is the blood of Level 5 on their teeth.
It's a magnet to
as
me.
As they suck their life force out.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. No wait. It's a magnet sucking money out of Level 5.
There you go.
That's fine.
So they're a small studio now and whatever, they're gonna be doing stuff. But that's what's happening. Acquisitions. Alright?
Alright.
Boo.
I understand acquisitions.
I booed
now.
That shit.
Thank you for the refresher.
Cool. You know what else is cool?
No.
What else is cool?
Not England? Because
no,
stop.
It's not out here too.
Stop. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if this is on your list, but
yeah.
Do you mind if I bring up something
By
I
By all means, take it away, sir. The steering wheel is yours.
The fact that Itsuno said that his game wasn't
oh, this is that super
free,
on here.
That is absolutely on the docket. Yeah.
Then might as well.
Oh, excellent.
Well,
yes.
We'll jump right to it then, shall we?
I am very excited regardless of what it is. If it's something like Dragon's Dogma 2, then fantastic because, you know,
well,
Dragon's Dogma is amazing.
Let me introduce the story here so that people know what it is. Hideaki.
Oh my god. This happens every time. Does the article say
hold that hold that. Allow me, please. Hideaki Itsuno's new game is progressing smoothly. Please look forward to the announcement. That's all we know. And
they said that about Final Fantasy 15.
You bet your bottom fucking dollar that the article accompanying this is a photo of Dante.
Every time. DMC4 Dante.
Every time. But to be fair, Itsuno, who directed Devil May Cry 2, 3, 4, Dragon's Dogma, and Dark Arisen, is announcing that he has a new project.
And that it's
most of that CV is Devil May Cry.
It's still really funny because every time Itsuno's name is in anything, there's a photo of Dante. No matter what.
Again, like...
It's true.
If you're known for a thing...
Yeah, but like...
I know.
I feel that even happened when Dragon's Dogma was coming out.
I agree. but like, I guess what I'm trying to say here is I would love this to be a new project. I would love this to be a Devil May Cry game. I wouldn't mind it being another Dragon's Dogma game. That's fine, too. But in that order.
Dragon's Might Cry Dogma, maybe?
It's exciting regardless because he has a very good track record, and I feel like if it is Dragon's Dogma 2, then maybe we could get this, because like I know in Dragon's Dogma they had to cut out the fact that the last level was the moon. Like that was an entirely new zone. They had it all mapped out. You go to the moon and it's this whole other thing. It's like a whole other world. But they had to scrap it for the final thing. Yeah, that's a thing. And it's a little bit depressing. But at the same time, with the new consoles and everything, who knows? Who knows what we'll be able to do?
I mean, we know that he has nothing to do with the Devil May Cry games anymore. However, we know that he's a huge fan of them. And loves them dearly. So
I would be shocked if it turns out to be Devil May Cry.
There have been rumors. I don't know if they're proven, but the fact that there are rumors at all makes me kind of think it's not impossible.
It's just like DMC4 failed the test. So
all right, well, bookmark this moment.
I will. I'm never more happy to be wrong.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
But no. What can I say? Like, I do hope for something new. That'd be really cool to hear. Itsuno announcing a game called Scalebound.
That is honestly what I was thinking.
The bound.
How do you put Dragon's Dogma together with Devil May Cry?
Oh my god!
Oh, shit,
yeah. How about
I hope it's called Progressing Smoothly.
Oh, there's something that I forgot to talk about from E3 of last week, and I don't know if it's news, but it is going to be the 19th today?
Yes.
So tomorrow they're putting out a full hour or something of Monster Hunter World footage, but a Japanese guy at the fucking E3, you know, behind closed doors, got the shittiest cam footage out ever of that presentation, and the devs have talked about it. And I want to point out, I hate the Monster Hunter community. I hate all of you, and you're all whiny babies, and I fucking hate you, and you're the worst.
It has been impressive.
The reaction
to see how angry.
World is the worst, most childish thing I've ever seen. It is worse than when RE4 got shown off, and people were like, "This ruined Resident Evil." It's worse than that. And now, like, the footage came out, I was like, "Oh, it's literally just exactly what you wanted for decades." Shut the fuck up.
When I saw it live, like, don't get me wrong, I had a reaction which was like, but at the same time, it's like, if you're not willing to give something a chance, then just. I don't know, I just don't really see the mindset of screaming like babies just, over it. It's
as
like,
a person just, completely unattached with no horse in the race whatsoever, I saw no reason to complain about what I thought was cool stuff.
You will understand. Both of you will understand this mentality game regardless. New updated thing with some conveniences. You're ruining it. You're dumbing it down for idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
For
that's universal
market.
For
any
game
PvE.
Franchise.
But it's like a million times more extreme than usual. Like,
okay.
It has been. Like, I saw the reactions on your Twitter, and it's like, really?
Oh,
people are getting fucking furious. But at the same time, it's kind of, I don't want to say a kick in the teeth, but it is a little bit like a backhanded slap to people who genuinely wanted Monster Hunter on the Switch.
Oh yeah, that's not coming out west.
That is very well. Actually, they did come out and say the
Capcom
official
said
Monster
that's
Hunter.
Not correct. We haven't announced anything. We're not like it. I think it was GameSpot, but GameSpot took it from an E3 representative saying we will not be bringing it to the West.
Actually, what it was is we have no plans or something like that, and it got slightly altered to the point of whatever. Like, are you guys just not bringing it over now because you want everybody?
But
to talk
then
about
Capcom
World.
Said right now we have no plans, but like. We're not.
I can understand why people who were excited for that game would be frustrated. And
yeah, I mean, I am.
Now it's in limbo.
At the very least, like, it's coming out, and, like, thank God the Switch is region free, so you can force
that
it
is true.
If you really want it.
I can see why people would be annoyed, because I guess, like, you know, the whole thing change is scary, but I feel like until you actually play it for yourself, and then you can criticize it, it's like.
You know what, Clemps? I disagree. I don't see that, because I understand when a series completely changed. Like, Street Fighter 3 is a good example of, like, that was a big fucking change, and New Generation kind of sucks, right? And change is scary and all that. Monster Hunter could not have changed less, ever.
It has been the most static game series ever.
It's like a fucking football game. Oh, we added the hit stick.
They just add in new monsters with new mechanics, and I say new mechanics. I mean the monsters have new mechanics that you have to learn with the old combat system. So having something new, I am excited with a question mark. I would just like to play it.
I just wanted to shit on the Monster Hunter community for a second because they're babies. Hey man, listen.
I'll tell you something. Change is scary.
That's correct.
However, sometimes. It can be for the best.
Like?
What you got?
The new intro to DuckTales.
I saw this earlier today. Looks real solid.
Like, looks the new good. DuckTales intro
so,
looks fucking incredible.
This intro,
the art style is incredible, and you need to go watch this.
There's a pan of a comic, kind of comic book panels, and it looked okay, and I was like, yeah, it kind of looks a little lazy. But when the characters jump out of the panels and are in this other world and jump back into like this huge nebulous page of fun comics, that's when I was like, whoa, that's cool.
Everything about this is just making me so happy. Like the fact that the art style, again, it looks like old style comics. The fact that like this intro is like the cover of the song is great.
Yeah, it is good.
You know, and it just screams adventure. Like everything about it looks like not what you'd expect of a new cartoon take on an old series. Whenever a series gets rebooted, it usually goes poorly in the sense that they try to update it too hard for the modern day. And this is all about embracing a classic look that looks even
still looking a bit modern.
But it looks even more classic than the original DuckTales did, you know? This intro is fucking awesome, guys.
Yeah, it's very good.
Sometimes change is all right, you know?
Yeah. And I really hope that's the case for Monster Hunter as well. I do.
Monster Hunter cross DuckTales. I like it.
Honestly,
great.
So
that could happen.
I mean, that's
Capcom the one that put out the
Capcom cross
game.
Disney. I mean,
well, that is a thing.
They have done
weirder like crossovers in Monster Hunter before. There are a ton.
There was a Metal Gear one that was just fucking so bizarre.
Well, how about a crossover like Capcom cross Namco Bandai in the online world? Because Capcom has entered a cross-licensing agreement with Namco for online matchmaking. So this means that for their fighting games, it seems like, and they list things like Street Fighter, they're going to be sharing netcode.
Okay, huh. Then maybe you guys can find out how to make good netcode finally.
Well, GGPO3 is the shit, but Rollback has weird... Weird repercussions,
properties.
Right? And you have to get used to the possibility of winning a round and then... No, you didn't. Sometimes happens. There is no accounting for or fixing a shitty-ass connection. At the end of the day, you either try to compensate or just drop the
match. I'd like to be more specific. There are two kinds of shitty connections. The one that's too slow to catch up to the game, which is bad. But the one that's way worse is packet loss connections,
fill in the info that we don't have.
The punch did not get sent.
Yeah.
You know the solution to bad connections, and a fighting game does do that.
Jail?
No. What's the fighting game that's like currently still out, and it has the thing where if you try to play online, it won't let you? Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
It has that system where if you play
on PC
and you connect, it looks at your connection and says you're not playing online.
Yeah.
That's so mainly a hardware
thing. That's based on the PC hardware config. Yeah, exactly.
But still. Yeah.
Street Fighter
on a console,
4,
they're not going to do that to
PC.
You.
That would be amazing,
also
though.
Also had something very similar. It's like you were not allowed to go online until you ran the benchmark.
Or is it
ranked? Well, the benchmark,
maybe it's just ranked.
I mean, Street Fighter in particular would be like, okay, well, drop your background off, set your model details to low, and get yourself a not
and 5 has a straight up low spec version.
Yeah.
I just like how in your face it is. Like, I would want to see that happen in a system where it'll like do the benchmark test, it'll check your connection, it'll be like no, and then a little X goes on online versus, and then slowly they patch out that even on the main menu you'll never be able to access it.
This news is great when you consider the fact that Tekken 7 has excellent netcode.
Not at first, but sure.
I mean, it's currently fine.
Yeah, but at launch it was really bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah, everyone knew that.
I was not having fun.
Oh, for fuck's sake, there's going to be a fire.
But it's fixed now.
There
are news stories about it, is what I mean.
So the idea that like they're like, yo, let's share this to not fucking have garbage on both ends is nice and smart. And again, I like the idea of adopting... you know, standardized netcode when it works.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Lab Zero were all about this type of mentality.
Yeah.
And they really are like, guys, we can standardize.
Also,
we can make
like
it
stick,
best.
Stick compatibility. Yeah.
We can make it good for everybody. And this is a step in the right direction because traditionally Japanese companies are a little bit stubborn. I don't know if you know this.
Maybe like Sony and crossplay.
I don't know if you've heard.
That sucks. I hate that fucking thing.
That makes
everyone's like, hey,
furious.
Sony, why don't you do crossplay? And they're like, Xbox users are dirty and they'll yell at kids.
Not like PS4 users.
It definitely frustrates me that I can't play Monster Hunter World online on PS4 with people on PC.
Yeah, just, no, that's the problem.
It's depressing. It's really depressing and frustrating. And Sony are silly and silly people.
What about the crossplay between people playing FF14 on PS3 and people playing it on PS4?
Well, that's never going to go away because that's one of the things they put in, and it's like if the reason why it's not coming to Xbox. Is because Microsoft keeps shutting it down.
So
also, can I pull one out
if
for
I
the
may.
PS3 users of Stormblood?
Hold on a moment. Let me just introduce this. The PS3 version of 14
is dead.
Is done.
Yep. That's I want to pull one out.
So this is a weird one. So we'll go into. Thank you for pulling this article, Wooly. I appreciate it.
No problem.
This is a weird one because it's a relatively rare situation for like support for a game to be a problem. But, like, pretty much since the game came out, PC and PS4 players have been, like, fucking drop support for that piece of shit. Because they're like, okay, guys, we'd like to increase the inventory size. But if we do, the PS3 users won't be able to run the game. We'd like to be able to make larger zones. But if we do, the PS3 players... like, and it was so common an answer that it became a meme. Where people go, how come I can't get into this dungeon? Oh, PS3 limitations. Like, they would just say it over and over and over. And when you play Stormblood and you see some of the zones and you see some of the weird bullshit that they do with stuff, you go, oh, it was holding back a lot. Like,
fare thee well, PS3. Fare thee well.
Hey, look, what can I say? Like, it's current year. Time to cut your losses. You know, if you have
A Realm Reborn came out in, like, what, 2014? Like, that was...
It was...
There's you know, there's not often a situation where like ports to older consoles are like going to hold up the future.
Well, 11 had a thing with this, where the PS2 one was supported for a frankly absurd amount of time.
Mm.
I think it was supported for like 9 years.
Exord being on both consoles as well was a thing when it first popped up. Yeah, exactly. So
and to be fair, like while it was technically supported, PS3 users would often run into absurd problems that shouldn't be allowed. So there were certain raid bosses in Heavensward where if you were playing on PS3, you could get killed by enemies that the server had loaded in, but your graphics were still loading, so they weren't there.
That's dumb.
So it's like, ugh.
Yeah. And, of course...
now remove PS4 support.
Talking about... playing games on optimal systems, I suppose. Keats put out a little quick tweet and it was a very nice one. It made me happy.
What's that?
Killer Instinct is coming to the Steam.
So Matt and I have had some terse moments over this because I admit my request to have that come to Steam being a Microsoft published game was somewhat unreasonable.
A little unreasonable.
I am shocked that they're actually putting it on Steam.
It's nice because it's going not. It's not just this, but it's also Quantum Break and Halo Wars, and the idea that like Microsoft is open to Steam.
This feels like Microsoft has like given up.
Is it Quantum Break and
Quantum Break
Halo
is
Wars?
Totally on Steam, and so is Halo Wars.
It was?
Coming. Yeah, absolutely. And the Steam version is like the Quantum Break was the one that made people really like pissy about it because the Quantum Break on Steam is more updated and has like a better. I think it has better DirectX 11 support, right, or something like that.
For a fighting game, this makes sense though, because you kind of roll it out on like one platform, then another, and then kind of another, and you kind of keep it growing, keep at least stuff happening.
I just appreciate just like, okay, like I get you want to grow your Windows Store. I get it. Your Windows Store is awful. It is awful. I bought Gears of War needs to come to Steam, and that'll be the when that happens. That's going to be the moment. Like, okay, they've fully given up on the fucking Windows Store.
That's what it is. It's like, okay, you're gonna run the fucking company toe line, and you're gonna try as hard as you can
to
push the thing.
Years.
Right? For those of you having trouble watching the E3 conference on fucking whatever that was
apparently
called.
Apparently, Mixer's E3 conference was like astonishing in its quality.
Okay.
Like it was 4K 60 with no drops.
But the point remains, we're going to push the thing we have. But after a certain point in time, if that just proves to be a bad idea and no one is taking it, stop resisting.
So, like, it's this weird thing where it's like, I completely understood why Matt would always be frustrated because he would see my, like, because it's like, just put on Steam would be a very quick answer to every version of that. But Matt doesn't, like, you don't play that many games on PC all that much time.
I do now.
You do now, but I know for a fact Wooly has a lot more experience dealing with Origin and Uplay.
It is beyond infuriating because it's so unnecessary.
And it is this thing of when people say just put on Steam, it doesn't have anything to do with Steam. It's not like people being like, I'm in love with Steam. It's like, I know every time it's not, every single time it's not, you have that time where it's like, part of the game is fighting the system that it's on to get to it.
And now, though, that answer, unfortunately, is not universal because Ubi Games will still require you to use Steam and then use Uplay servers.
Yeah, which you kick it into offline mode and turn all that shit off.
And like, you know, I learned it with Ask Creed Chronicles, but with For Honor, you pop it in and like you still have to go through the same bullshit to boot up the game. You have to log into two separate services.
And the Microsoft Store
was annoying.
Like a new level of bad. It wasn't games from Windows Live again. It absolutely wasn't. The problems were very different. But the most common problem is like you download the game and then you have to download the game and then you have to download the game. And it just like there are people with limited connections being forced to re-download Gears of War 4. Like that's 80 gigs like six times because it just the installation just doesn't work.
Okay, because maybe
sounds great.
Depends on the game. But when I bought Killer Instinct on the Steam store in the start menu or whatever that Windows 10 has, I put in Killer Instinct. It popped up in the Steam store. I clicked on it.
Mean Windows Store or Steam?
Well, sorry, Windows Store.
Uh-huh.
And then I pressed buy, and then it said put in your credit card info and put in your Microsoft account, meaning my Hotmail account.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is very specific to me. And I'm like, okay, go. It installed it, and then I played it.
So,
and every time I double-click Killer Instinct on my desktop, like it boots up. Is that not universal for the other games? Or
no. The issue with games for Windows Live and this specifically, it was never – so Origin has a different – Origin and Uplay
those are their own
have different kinds of problems compared to the Microsoft ones. Origins and Uplay would have the problem of I'm playing my game and I'm having fun and then the service just fucks your game and just crashes you out or it doesn't work or the friends list crashes the game.
You
want
to
bullshit.
Yeah, you want to join a game with custom friends in Titanfall 2. You have to deal with Origin's pairing up service for finding friends,
right?
Okay.
Which,
bullshit,
generally
man.
Speaking, works about half
so,
the time.
So Uplay and Origin were the kind of thing where, like, the game is worse. Like, it's in the game.
Yeah.
Microsoft services when the game worked properly, it would be more or less invisible, and it would be fine, and, mm-hmm. and the matching services would work fine. And the problem with games for Windows Live and this would be that if you're one of the unlucky ones to just, oh, something's a little off with your install, or okay. something's a little, it would be the worst thing ever. I forget what it was, but Wooly had to set up one game for a recording for us. And it was the first time he ever had to deal with games for Windows Live.
It was for Cross Tekken.
Okay. Because he had not dealt with it. And he had heard me rant and rave. And he was like, okay, Pat's being crazy. And then like he came to me apologized. It was the weird. He's like, it's like a fucking beat down. It's just like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know how bad it was. Because you blew like a whole day getting that to
play Cross Tekken.
To turn on, and then you had to play Cross Tekken.
Yeah. Well, you know. So anyway, it's nice when we see things like this. It shows that you're not going to like continue annoying your end user just because you want to push your own.
It's also proprietary pretty, system. Like from a PR perspective. Maybe this is just fucking self-congratulatory, but it helps Microsoft look less crazy and rigid.
I also think, like, you gave your best shot at your thing. The maximum amount of people that were willing to play this game to get into your store, you capitalized on that. It was on the Windows Store for, like, more than a full year. It came out in March last year. So they, like, we tapped out the market of people that are willing to buy it on our store. So now that that's gone, let's put it on Steam and, like...
If you happen to be someone that has never touched KI, but that Eagle trailer just fucking wet your loins, time to go get it on Steam.
I don't really... Eagle trailer looked okay.
Yeah, Arrow Man.
I'll admit, I'm not the biggest fan of Killer Instinct because I don't play it. But I feel like that is one of their weaker like teases.
I think so.
Like I remember what's the Ghost Lady.
Hisako.
Her teaser thing was like, oh, what's that? Yeah. That kind of thing.
And I feel bad because Max specifically made the sequel trailer.
The music was really good.
Whoops.
His model just looks a little off, and the gameplay was just not super exciting looking. That's all.
Well, the thing is, it's a bit of a challenge to do things with an Arrow character that haven't already been done by
Hawkeye, by
Samurai Showdown, by
Green Arrow,
Marvel, by Injustice. Yeah. You know, so it's travel territory, but we'll wait to see the full move
list. Yeah. It comes out before the end of the month, so.
Mm-hmm. Coming out. No, well, no, that's not that soon, actually.
Yeah, it's not that soon.
Oh, no. I combo broke my own segue. Fool. Well, anyway, the point is that we have some details about Life is Strange. Before the storm.
Some weird things about this, too.
And, you know, as predicted... there's no more time rewinding because Max is not the main character. So what you have is, you know, your playable Chloe, and your decisions matter, and you're stuck with whatever you choose to do.
And Chloe is not being played by one Ashley Birch.
I didn't catch that.
You didn't?
Yeah, it's because of the voice acting dispute.
Yeah, so she's not voicing Chloe.
Oh, wow.
Birch put out a statement a little while ago. Very sad that I won't be able to reprise
not
my role, that kind of
that
thing.
It was her best role, though.
What? That goes to Tiny Tina.
That goes to Horizon Girl. I don't forget her name. Hey, Aloy. Man. Aloy.
Yeah, she's quite good in that.
That or Cassie Cage or some other stuff. But I always kind of felt I think it's more or less the script's problem. But
I like Ash.
I don't like her as Chloe.
I thought it was fine, but.
This is going to sound bad, but have you guys played Life is Strange on your channel?
Yes,
we have.
We beat it.
Yep. I will need to watch that then, because I am not a big fan of the game, but I like to watch people play it and get different opinions on it.
Mm.
So that'll be something for me to watch, I think.
So what I was going to say, it's an interesting thing, because with this now, where you don't have the ability to fix things and make them perfectly, you just have to make your decisions as a normal, you know, like adventure game would be. You are playing as Chloe, who happens to be an asshole, So your bad decisions are totally fine.
Especially probably at this juncture in her life, because I think like she might have been worse.
Yeah.
Well, the example given in the description is in the demo where they talk about she goes to a divey rock club at the edge of town. She wanted a band t-shirt. The vendor was selling them out of the trunk of his car for $20. And instead of handing over the cash, Chloe quietly released the parking brake on his car that made it roll out of the club. And while he was distracted, she took a shirt and $200 from his sales.
Yeah.
She then used the money to pay a debt to a drug dealer.
Oh.
And she got a dime bag to boot.
Hey, you have to
what an angel.
What hero. You got to do.
So,
beautiful.
So here we're going to have that moment where it's Mr. Burns in the fucking grocery store with catsup and ketchup. But instead it'll be your big moral choice for the end of the first episode is like, do cocaine? Do meth?
I play it.
And it's meth exclamation point. Because it's not clear.
Yeah.
And this is also made by a completely different developer.
You feel like how you feel about Molly Water.
Dude, I would...
How you feel about ketamine. Yeah.
Oh, Special K?
Dude, like, it's perfect.
You're just going to be like...
Whatever decisions you make, who gives a fuck?
Listen, Scooby Gang, I've invented a new drug. It's called Crocodile.
It makes your face look great.
Have you heard the good word about Jenkum?
You might win breast special effects at the Oscars.
What's the fucking street name for Spice? Spice, synthetic weed. Oh,
like, Chloe, did you just put a balloon over a bottle of human fecal matter?
No!
I did no such thing.
Oh, Clems, are you being initiated into the world of Jenkum and the African...
Everyone's dying.
The African...
Oh my god,
culture.
You're talking about that? Yo, I've heard of that. Where you snort shit fumes.
Oh yeah, dude. The highest highs.
Lowest.
Dude.
It's so funny. I don't get it,
you've
man.
You've never tripped until you've tripped
Listen,
on human
bro,
shit.
Okay. I have never shat into the toilet, man. You know what? I want to take a big guff of that.
I'm telling you,
I've never thought that. Ever. I don't understand. Like, what mindset were you in?
Life is horrible and nothing's going to get any better than this
strange.
Moment.
Yeah, I'll just sniff some shit, I guess.
Might as well.
It'll be great, I promise.
Yeah. You okay?
Who's dying?
Woke up late, so I didn't eat lunch.
So you're coughing.
So I'm hungry enough that I'm nauseous. So when I start coughing that, it causes a thing.
All right, I won't keep you too much longer.
I remember seeing that.
That's fine. I've done this before. I just hit it better.
Okay.
What was it on?
I'm a piece of shit. I drink Red Bulls all day and I play an MMO. I'm going to die.
We know.
Get over it.
What were you saying, Clems?
I was trying to think. That's right. Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah.
Dirty Sanchez is. Yeah. They did that on one of their sideshows. Where two of them go around the world and try different drugs to get like high in different ways, and some of the shit they do is borderline ridiculous. Like I think one of them is like apparently you get a high from just from chugging cum, and boy do they try and it doesn't work.
Excuse me?
I know it's apparently somewhere in the world. Apparently it's a natural high.
How much would you need?
Oh,
chugging?
I don't understand
I bet Clem's has a little notebook of things to bring up today.
They gotta bring up
the cum chugging.
Of course they drink a good old horsey boy. They get a little horse and they go, oh, let's try it. And they try that wasn't nice.
There's
and they leave.
There's so much better things to get high with.
Okay. I remember.
Clems has beaten plague.
I know. I remember. This is tapping into a story from many years ago.
Oh, from your
life.
Oh no!
On the internet, somewhere in Australia, there's a bar in Australia that had a limited time gimmick of offering shots of horse cum shot.
Oh no! But you got it's apple flavored.
Right. You remember this?
That makes all the difference in the world.
This was a legit thing, and this popped
it's
up.
It's so true.
I want to say
so legit.
I want to say like 7 years ago. Oh man!
So wait. Gross. Okay, I have a I have so many questions. I have so many questions.
Okay, where
try to narrow.
All
down.
All right, I'm gonna narrow it down to a highly specific question. Did they add flavoring, or
oh no, they just
does Australian horse semen taste like apples?
Ooh. Yo, what have them horses eaten?
Clem says no information.
I think the easy way would be...
You want to Google this into your...
I was going to say, I haven't really done much research into the horse cum flavor, but I can give it a shot after this is done, my dude.
I think the easy way would be to add the flavoring after the fact.
I think that'd be much easier.
That seems like a nightmare if you're not trying to do that. That's what I'm going to say.
Horses.
That's
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't. Why is that like a draw to your bar?
All right, gentlemen. Here we go.
They took it.
Here we go.
Out of the UK. Here it real
is.
Hard.
Here it is. You've got to do.
Oh fuck this.
An Irish car bomb.
Oh no.
Of apple horse semen. With and the car bomb part is horse piss. Okay.
Oh come on.
You're just making shit up now.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Or
Jenkum.
Well, I forget which one's that?
Human shit
balloon?
Fumes in the balloon.
Oh, I'll take the balloon.
You're taking the balloon?
Breathing in is easier than eating.
I would not take the balloon.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh, you take the horse semen?
That'll give you an infection if you fucking
I
do that
would,
balloon shit.
I would.
I'll take the infection.
Yeah, you would.
Now it's not it's not just fecal matter. It's aged.
Oh yeah,
aged to the point that it's farts aged to the point that they ferment and fucking make your brain trip.
Oh, they call it the Molyneux.
They didn't. Okay, in that case, they they didn't even do that.
Which one are you going for?
I'm not eating horse semen.
Like, I don't want to do both. This is a dumb choice.
I have a pretty fucking hard rule on Pat's not going to eat some fucking horse semen and piss and shit.
That's on your list?
That's on the list.
I'm going to go ahead and say personally, like...
Well, you invented this
gases
choice.
Gases and fumes going through my body would, like, disturb me less than... Like fluids, liquids. But, and furthermore, maybe the high will like black me out so that I forget. Hopefully. That's what I'm going to say.
Maybe
Australians are a different breed.
So they don't have very fast internet, so they get bored.
Hold on. We need Clem's answer.
Yeah, what's Clem's answer?
Oh?
What's your answer?
What are you going to pick?
I'd probably just guzzle the horse cum if I'm honest.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
Mana principles.
That was an easy answer.
Yeah, it's almost as if he was prepared.
Almost.
Listen, okay, if I could choose between apple-flavored horse cum or sniffing human shit, I'd probably go for you know, a bit of horse cum.
Apple. Applejack.
Oh, yep. did you really just have to...
The sound effects are crucial.
There you go. Just hold it up in the name of the queen and
yeah, that's what she wanted for her subjects.
This is for you. This is for you, Elizabeth.
We are never going to get on that fucking podcast list.
Ooh. All right. Well, we can try to find our way out of this one.
Yeah, let's try.
Okay? We're going to try.
Oh,
wholesome video games incoming.
Yeah.
Nintendo is remaking Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. This was announced on the Treehouse stream after the fact.
That's a good fucking game. So good.
Here it comes. Good stuff. And it's pretty cool that this is getting brought back. And
the first one's amazing and the third one's amazing. I hope they just skip the second one. Dream Team, I think it is.
I think.
Not
sure.
Inside Story?
No, Inside Story is the third one, which is amazing. No, is it the... it's the third one. And
there's a lot.
The second one's bad. The second one is the Baby Mario's, and it's not good.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Right. Anyway, Yeah, so that's a cool one.
Yeah, they're kind of updating the graphics a little bit, but not too much.
It still looks like it's still clear it came from the GBA, but it's just cleaned up.
Yeah, and some people are like, I don't like it. It's not the. I'm like, they could have remade it all in 3D, right?
Yeah,
it's good middle ground here.
So yeah, that is.
I really want you to have a fake story prepared. To lead in after the
Partners
horse thing.
Partners in Time.
That's the one. Yeah.
I wanted to get a fake thing Nintendo announces Mario and Luigi's cum guzzlers or something.
Well, they...
I want to know how prepared you are for podcasts sometimes.
There's no date on this, so... Okay. We're trying to fight our way out, man.
Probably this year.
We're trying to fight our way out.
Well, I'll keep dragging you back in.
Well, speaking of... Dragon.
Fuck you! I knew that was it.
Dragon Ball Z Fighter.
That was amazing.
You want to talk about it more? I guess
The gameplay details have emerged because have gotten their hands on it.
Because we saw the trailer at Microsoft.
We saw the trailer, and now we have
that looks good.
Details.
Are there any Marvel Infinite stories this week?
No.
Damn it.
I mean,
because I wanted to have, like, speaking of guzzling horse cum, here's more shots of Marvel Infinite.
But so Dragon Ball Z Fighters is after numerous people have gotten their hands on it, including one so Maximilian. What we have is confirmation. This is a 6-button fighter. 4 buttons are your combat buttons. So you have light, medium, hard. You have special, which is your projectiles. Mm-hmm. And then tag 1, tag 2. Mm-hmm. There is no throws in the game.
I didn't know that.
Throws are not a part of the basic rock, paper, scissors.
What's the scissors?
The rush where you do a flurry of attacks that dust launches the character is basically like an unblockable rush.
It's unblockable?
And what happens is the way you deflect it is by actually doing an input deflect, as you would a projectile.
Yeah.
Or countering with your own rush. And there and then basically when you both rush together, you go into like that anime style where both like shooting limbs out in all directions kind of fight. Back off. Or if you don't do that, then you get launched up for an air combo that can get continued. But this system sort of replaces throws. It's interesting. Also, of course, you can tell from the footage and trailers that there's no incoming, right? After a character dies, you get a round reset, which is awesome. But there are snapbacks. So you're going to have – basically what I'm kind of talking about here is in Marvel, when a character dies, there'd be a moment where the next character jumps in.
Yeah.
And you can mix them up, right? In Marvel, there's even moments where you can do unblockable things to the incoming character.
Yeah.
Where you just can't do anything but take the hit.
Yeah.
That is completely avoided in this game by making it so that when the new guy comes in, you have a round reset and you don't have that mix up.
It goes round whatever start.
And it's and so you don't have to deal with that problem. We call that incoming, and a lot of people are not fans of that because it's hype to see someone get mixed up, but when you get to a point where there's no way to block the thing, it sucks. So there's that. Of course, there's tag specials and whatnot going on. And we definitely know that there's background destruction. When you deflect projectiles that come at you into the background, objects behind you get blown the fuck up just like the show.
That's so cool.
There's round finishers that knock you into buildings and debris.
I didn't know that.
And finally, there's state changes to the stage where if you finish with a massive special.
Yeah, like I saw Boo exploded the planet.
The planet blows up. Exactly. So... this game is
plays
fucking...
loose with the cannon.
This is Arxis doing their best to make it feel like you're playing the show.
It looks fantastic.
It looks like the show when they're fighting.
It does.
The other thing to keep in mind is right now we're seeing assists come out doing one move. Mm-hmm. And people were kind of thinking like, okay, so you're locked into that one type of move.
Right.
But they now have details saying that there's going to be more than one mode for the characters. However, we've kept it on a basic system.
Oh, look at the
for the introduction.
In the background. Holy shit.
Yeah, there's footage on – if you check out Max's video and you get to see some of the background footage, it looks like – the crowd looks exactly like the world of
Toriyama.
Yeah,
when they're watching the
little
animal
man
fighting
and such. Exactly, at the Budokai tournaments. This system just sounds like a better version of Marvel – the game looks like as a beautiful Guilty Gear Eric Zerd style lighting system.
Well, this game has so a much weird to look it. That I don't know how to define it, but I want to say that it looks perfect. Like, this looks like the highest quality, best possible fantasy version of the show that could ever exist. Like, yes.
I'd agree. Yes.
And I think we talked about this before, where, like, around Budokai 1, 2, whatever, 3, people are like, oh my god, cel shading, it's perfect. This Drake looks like a perfect Dragon Ball game. Like, it's immaculately representing the anime. And then after that, once it moved to, like, Raging Blast, they started putting all these fucking filters and shit shading that made it look less like the show.
The main thing is they realized that if they kept they just kept iterating on that art style, like, every game would look identical.
It would.
So from game to game, like, this one's more cel shaded. This one has more of a 3D look. Blah blah blah. You know,
something.
But all of them would look not as great aesthetically. And now this one just goes back to it, I guess.
Another system function that you'll see in the gameplay is moments of the characters teleporting right behind their opponents. And this is something that everyone can do, just like in the show.
Final Flash.
But doing it costs a bar. So it's a trade-off for an instant mix-up, but it costs you.
We're watching a sequence. We're watching it on Max's channel where he's tons of matches, right? And earlier there was a shot where Cell did a super and Goku used
he's gonna show you.
But Goku used a bar to teleport directly behind Cell and do an upwards facing super Kamehameha
exactly like
into Cell
the anime.
Like people will be able to recreate canon matches at really fast speeds. But
I really hope it does work.
My dream detail is that fusion characters exist.
Oh, yeah.
By picking the two people on the team.
Oh, absolutely.
That you need to create the fusion.
Of course.
That'd would be the sickest fucking possible way to do really that.
Pet Goten and Trunks in order to get Gotenks.
Or Vegeta and Goku.
And you sacrifice it Phoenix style.
Okay, but if you're Vegeta and Goku, how do you select between fusions?
Depends which one you pick first.
Earrings or dance.
Maybe that. Yeah, I guess.
You
know?
Maybe on the select screen, you choose what you want to do.
They also announced, I think, either yesterday or today, that the director of this game was like asked, like, oh, how come no Switch version? How come fucking... nice.
Go on.
How come you get regained fucking shitty ass Xenoverse 2 on the Switch and not this? And they're like, there's actually no reason, like, or from our test, like, the Switch will run this game no problem. We didn't think to put it, but if everyone supports, and I saw a lot of the game grumps just saying, I want to play this on a plane.
Yeah.
I'll play this.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So they're like, yeah, just let Namco Bandai know that you'd want more Dragon Ball games. Dragon Ball games universally seem to sell well on almost anything,
of course,
it seems.
But the very Japanese answer of we're taking note of fan interest is what applies here.
The Japanese interest of the Xbox One version.
Beautiful.
So I have an answer for you in terms of how to choose which one. Yeah. If Gogeta, if Goku does the input, you get Gogeta. If Vegeta does the input, you get Vegito.
Yeah. Okay.
So Vegeta should always do the input.
Basically. Yes, that's correct.
So I don't think we've asked this question in a long time, gentlemen. Gogeta or Vegito?
Vegeta. Always Vegeta.
That's always Vegeta.
Always Vegeta.
That's
Vegeta.
It's true.
100% forever.
It really is.
Vegito show.
Clems.
Yeah.
Gogeta or Vegito?
Do it.
I might be out of line here, but I haven't.
Watch really Dragon watched Ball.
Here's the thing. Okay. I have watched Dragon Ball up to the Buu saga.
Okay, that's fine.
So the characters you're talking about, I'm like,
are in the Buu saga.
You're allowed
to defend yourself, sir. That's
so
fine.
I'm a little bit confused, but I only watched it.
I like hearing the sound of Clemps fighting not against us, but against the invisible Twitter tweets that are coming his way.
You're the most in Dragon Ball Z fucker. Yeah, seriously, but no, like I watched Dragon Ball Z last year. I think just marathoned it. And watching it as an adult with no, like, I mean, I think I watched it around my friend's house when I was a kid, and it was really, really hype, and I loved it. And I think I actually saw the episode where Frieza was blown up, and I was like, whoa, this is great, holy shit! And I watched it again as an adult, and Goku, oh boy.
Yeah.
He gets under my skin. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Like, is it because he's a stupid idiot?
He's the world's worst dad.
Yep.
It's like the bit I went, what the fuck, Goku? when Gohan is about to kill Cell. Or not kill Cell, sorry. Was it? No. He's about to kill Cell or something. And then Goku's like, have a senzu bean, Cell. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Be there for the birth of your child or stay dead to keep training.
He does this annoying thing where he goes, and he gets really smug about it, and until people are like, Goku, what are you doing, you stupid? And he's like, huh? And then like he realizes he's made a mistake like 10 minutes later. You realize your son could die, right? And he goes, he won't die. And he goes, but what if he does? And he goes, he really freaks out about it. It's like, you're a fucking idiot, so, like, Goku. No, I love like everyone
I'm
else.
I'm pretty sure this, I think it was the Bandai Namco Twitter account, like the for games on Twitter, that posted Happy Father's Day, and it was a fucking photo of Piccolo and Gohan.
Yeah.
That is shit. That's so good. I think out of...
Because taken to the extreme, the whole Goku thing in Super then, it's more than just, I'm going to choose fighting over my own children.
I'm going to choose fighting over hundreds of trillions of lives.
I'm going to choose fighting over the entire existence of Goku. Multiple universes.
Of the metaverse.
What have you done?
Yep. Go.
Goku.
He's going to show you. He's going to help you find a way. Anyway, all that to say, Dragon Ball Z Fighters
is awesome.
Is 20% complete.
What?
It looks fantastic.
20%. Complete.
It looks this good at 20%.
That's what they said.
I don't think graphically is like. I think
I don't even mean graphically. I mean like content. The characters.
No,
and
I just mean it's content filling in, like, I guess modes and characters, and that's it.
Yeah, modes and characters and stages.
I remember when Street Fighter online play was 20% complete, and everyone was like, "Calm down, it's 20% complete."
I guess it depends on how you.
They're hiding their power
it,
level.
They did all the engine shit and graphics first, and they just have to plop the characters in and
that's,
work on,
you know,
those.
Just Kaioken that shit.
Well, luckily all the characters are basically the same model and share the same art style, so there's almost no work there.
Kind of.
I feel that as like a very, very, very casual Dragon Ball like enjoyer, it says a lot that I actually want to buy the game because it looks that good.
So I had Rocky come over, right? And he's in, you know, if people listen to this podcast, you know, Rocky's the real Rocky. He's the nicest guy in the universe. We all kind of know him. And he comes in, he's like, yeah, E3, what did you think? I was like, oh, I was fucking splooging over that Dragon Ball game. He's like, oh, I didn't really, yeah, it's kind of lame looking. It's like a little trailer. I didn't see it. I was like, did you see it?
Because
I don't understand why anyone's, and he goes, well, I saw like some screenshot. I'm like, oh, wait, no, watch this match. And he goes, okay, I didn't see this at all.
Then
he's watching and then he sees like the super that transitions into the stage being fucking a volcano world.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes,
oh, so good.
I'm gonna buy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what he saw.
Been doing that voice, making fun of Rocky for like 15 years.
I'm making fun.
Years.
That's his voice.
Because that's the most alarmed he will ever get.
Oh, also, at least Wooly will find this funny. We're at Beer Fest in Montreal this weekend, and I'm walking with Rocky, and he goes, hey, Rocky, you know, just as an aside, he made me his co-best man for his wedding next year. Anyway, we're walking, and he goes, hey, so, you know, you're going to be my best. For my bachelor party, I don't really want any girls or strippers. And I was like, yeah, I bet you don't want a lot of things to happen during your bachelor party. And he goes, yeah, because I organize your bachelor party. And I get a bit serious, though. No, like, I don't really want it. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you don't want a lot of shit to happen to your birthday party. So and then he's just like, oh, okay.
Poor Rocky.
So someone's going to get destroyed. Anyway.
Guilty Gear style. Destroyed.
Yeah. Destroyed.
Let's take some emails, shall we?
Let's. Hey,
if you want to send an email to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. Superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
What's
Once
that
again,
email?
Superbestfriend email.
Excellent. That's excellent work. Didn't even finish.
Bravo.
Bravo.
That's good.
All right.
All right. What do we got?
We got one coming in.
I'm sorry.
The queen.
I was on the spot and I did the first thing I could think of.
And it worked.
Nailed it.
It worked big.
Thank you.
All right. We got one coming in from Eric, Dare Booperfest, Krensast.
What? Yeah, I can see where that comes from.
Okay. How do you deem what's newsworthy for the podcast? Do you prepare a docket before or do you save it for the last minute in case something comes in hot? It's very simple.
It's both.
If during the week, if there's anything of interest, I'll throw it aside and Matt and Pat will send you something if they have an interesting story.
It's relatively rare, but every now and then Matt or I will see something and go, fucking put this in the podcast!
But for the most part, each week I grab things of note as the week goes by and then the day before... or hours before, I do a final roundup to catch the last-minute drops.
Also, you forgot the most important part. Look down sadly when real news is announced on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Every time. Every single fucking time.
And then we have to go an entire week of people saying, did you talk about, like, did you know about this?
There are a few disadvantages to doing the podcast live on Twitch, one of which is the technical issues, but it has one massive advantage, which is because we are doing it live.
People scream.
People are able to scream, dude, this just got announced. And it's happened a few times where we've been able to go.
I swear Mondays is literally like when... I don't know. It's just Tuesdays. The game companies are or Thursdays.
Tuesdays
weirdly?
Podcast day.
Yeah, man.
Strange. So we got a question coming in from Mark. Hey guys, I've been going through some of the older podcasts to catch up, and I came across a section where everyone talks about the Tales of games. Mm-hmm. Matt mentioned he was a fan of the series. Man. I believe this was episode 6.
Oh, wow. You're really going back through the old ones, huh?
Since both Zestria and Berseria have been released after that
you're
podcast,
right to laugh.
I was wondering what you thought of them and how they stack up against the rest of the series.
So I played a bit of Berseria. You know, I actually really not into the Tales of games anymore. Anytime I boot up a new one, I haven't played all of them. I've played Zillia or Zillia 2. But every time I boot one up, I'm just like, well, we're talking about Monster Hunter. Things change.
Yeah.
I kind of want Tales to stay the same. Whereas, like, I played Symphonia. I played Fantasia when it was, like, kind of Japanese translated in a ROM sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to get it. So I played Symphonia. Love it. Like, probably my... like top 50 games ever, just because I had so much fun playing it. Then Abyss.
I've been told to play it.
Sorry?
I've been told to play that one because I didn't really like Tales of the Abyss. I think it was...
Yeah, Symphonia is very different in terms of its characterization and its party
Wasn't
structure.
Symphonia a departure from the original series before
well,
that?
Well, it was 3D, yeah.
So that was a change from what it used
to
be.
That was a big change, but the systems are still very, very similar. But like... as it goes on, like they're like, we got to do new different stuff. Like the last two games I really, really enjoyed were Vesperia, which is kind of a lot of one that people reference a lot because it's the first one on HD consoles, and Symphonia 2, Dawn of the New World on the Wii. And that's been since re-released on the PS3 and stuff. Berseria and the other ones, they're just kind of weird. I go in the gameplay systems are actually really, really complicated. And what a reason why I liked the Tales of series is that it felt like you were playing Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. You had fucking just commands for a Dragon Punch, a horizontal
quarter
sweeping
circles,
movement,
like
and whatever.
Yeah.
And it just was like simple and to the point. I can just enjoy a nice cast of characters and some nice plot twists and whatever. And now it's just like I play it. I'm just like so. I don't know, lost. I'm out of my depth. I will say that the main girl in Berseria is awesome. She's like very, very different. She's a black-haired raven girl. It's like guts almost. She's like this berserker.
She's a massive edgelord.
Well, she's kind of a massive edgelord.
I was about to say that.
But
it's, yeah.
But she's different than every other Tales protagoni that's just, I'm, yeah, that
Lloyd.
Type.
Tales and Star Ocean both have the same thing going
Star
on,
Ocean
where I'm
well.
More on the Star Ocean thing, and the same exact thing happened to Star Ocean, where 1 and 2 are more or less identical. They are so similar. And then 3 tries some changes, and everyone on the planet is like, fucking oh my god!
Yeah.
Go back! And then that became the new Star Ocean, like the new template.
Well, Matt, if there's a void where your love for that type of combat system needs a vessel, there's an upcoming game called Indivisible
yes,
that
it
has a similar combat
style. It is very similar. I mean, it's different and similar, but... And going back to Zestria for a bit, I played that for a good chunk, like an hour and two, and I was liking that a bit more, and I might go back to that one day, but Basaria, whatever, I don't know if I'll ever go back to that. I still need to play the Zillia games, though. I have them all on the PS3, and like I just need to boot them up one day.
What was the one that had a realistic Western style and then a Japanese anime style?
Oh, that's Tales of Hearts the DS.
Okay.
It's the same game, but they just all had the cutscenes, they anime made it style, anime and ugly CG.
Mm-hmm. That's what you Americans love. Feet on a pig.
No, it's for Japanese, too. It's like, both Japanese.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, there's lots of games that have big CG intros.
I assumed. My mistake. Okay.
They're not Western looking. They're just CG.
Lucky Ragey.
I have not wanted to touch a Tales game since I played Tales of Abyss, because I played it on the 3DS, and I can say with absolute sincerity that it is, and I'm probably going to step on a few toes here, but it's one of the worst JRPGs I've ever played. I hated it. And I am not one to just...
In terms of mechanics or like story and characters or just everything?
You stepped on Dragon Ball toes. Ain't no need to hold back now.
The characters were trash.
No, the thing with Abyss is that, yes, they all are trash. But it gets to a certain point where a lot of characters go through some very, very interesting transformations, but it happens like 45 hours into the game, so I do not blame you for not getting past that point. I would like you to do an experiment for me, Clemps, if you would entertain me. Try to get a copy of Tales of Legendia for the PS2, and maybe play like 2 hours. If you can then give me an opinion what those characters are, I'd be very interested if you think they're worse than Abyss. Because for me, I've referenced this game before. It is a party of JRPG characters that can't stand each other.
And that sounds great.
All of them are selfish, and they all have their own goals. No one wants to work together. And I know what you're going to say. Well, that's cool, but I'm sure by the end they all put their differences. No, they don't. They all hate each other until the end of the game. And that cast was insufferable.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll give it a go if I can find a cheap copy somewhere.
I'll send you one.
It's always sad.
Oh, yeah, sure. If you want to.
It's one of the few PS2 or like of that era games that Bandai Namco hasn't even shit on to remaster or re-release. They're like, forget about that one.
I definitely want to do a video on Tales of the Abyss because I didn't... I got like 10 hours in and I got like... two dungeons past the annoying little blue rat that like screams at bushes and they set on fire, and every single time he's fucking mew mew, it's like can you worst. And I tried to go into the options and find like a turnoff voice.
No, there's no
nah man. So it was like I had to play it with the volume off because it was like the Final Fantasy X-2 massage scene where it's embarrassing for people to like walk in. And so if I'm playing Tales of Abyss, I'm just chilling out with a bit of Tales, and somebody in the next room, all they can hear is mew mew mew. It's like they
that guy's playing something Japanese.
Yeah, I dropped that game like it was hot.
If you ever do make that video, let me know. I can offer some really, really dated insight.
That'll be great.
I haven't played any of those games to completion in a long ass time. Anyway,
sweet.
We're going on too long about Tales.
Hey, man, what's yeah. give me an email. Give me a hot email right off the pipe.
I was just going to say, all I know is there's that one game that the Samurai Champloo artist did, and I thought the
that's Legendia.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, we got one coming in from Mago. He says, Super Punch Time Exploders.
Timely.
We just passed Father's Day, and it got me thinking about how some works of fiction have terrible fathers, trash
we're
human
just
beings.
Talking about that,
indeed. Everyone. Who are some of the absolute worst dads in fiction? Well, we already did
aside
definitely
Goku.
Say
Goku.
I'm gonna
Gendo Ikari's.
Shit, you beat me to it fast.
Yeah.
Come on, what else is there to say?
Gambino.
But maybe the counter is biological.
I mean,
or
whatever. Yeah. He's his father.
Iffy.
But you're not even really wrong.
Iffy. Well, I mean, Balrog is daddy by that extent.
Yes, he is.
But he actually. You okay?
My eye crust flew in my eye.
Okay, good. Oh, wow. Wow, that's a new issue.
What's happened?
I don't really know. But I'm just going to play it off and continue the podcast.
I had a little bit of eye crust left from this morning, and I blinked, and it fell directly into my eyeball and got underneath my eyelid.
There's cameras, man.
I know.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Like, I've never been embarrassed on camera before.
Okay. Well,
enjoy your animated GIF, you bastards.
You can keep your eye crust. Now, let me just talk about for a second. Ed actually cares about Balrog, so he's not even the worst dad because Balrog sort of cares too. He just cares by making him fight. His story has a moment where Balrog has a... He has like a moment where you kind of hear a tear slightly almost after Ed beats him and he's like, I'm leaving now.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Balrog has a very emotional, just go! And it's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Really?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. I didn't see it coming.
What about...
Go play Ed's story.
What about that... there's that dad character from My Hero Academia.
Yeah, a lot of people reference him.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. What?
Oh my god!
What about Grappler Backy?
What about okay, Grappler Backy? That's a fucking strong contender. Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, what about Heihachi?
I was about to say Heihachi
and Kazuya.
I was about to say Heihachi.
Dads.
I mean, you have to go back to the start of the cycle in Heihachi, but at the same time. You know, there's factoids that change circumstances that we still have to discuss.
Awesome factoids.
Yeah. But Grappler Backy is a fucking good one.
There's a specific Godzilla
Geese is pretty
movie.
Shitty just because...
Well...
He's not around very much.
He, like Goku, chose the fight instead of his son's life, you know?
There's a specific Godzilla movie where, like, Godzilla Jr. is walking around or whatever, Manila. Godzilla literally bonks him on the head. It's like, do your breath better. And pushes him over, then shoves him in front of bigger kaiju to fight them, and gets pissed if he doesn't win.
Yeah. Godzilla. To be honest, like a lot of anime protagonists, Jotaro Kujo, worst father.
I was going to say Ject from Final Fantasy X, but he comes as a redemption.
Ject is one of the best fathers. What are you talking about?
You can't
about?
Do it, kid. I'm the best.
No, but he's right. Even if
showing up to steal his girls, man.
Oh man! Yeah, seriously.
My your dad comes back from the dead to steal your girl. That's like fuck you. You had your time, old man.
Don't you want him to stay alive so that you can tell him you hate him?
Hate him? Yes.
I hate you, Dad. Yeah, I know.
I mean, look at me. Look at this bod.
He's such a dick.
I have a huge following of haters.
You eating boy.
If he's in that PS4 Dissidia, you can bet your ass on the main.
I love Jack.
He's great.
Jack is only great because we have to put him against Titus. If Titus was awesome.
Well, it's weird because Jack is just a better version of your
That's
main
exactly
character.
It. That's it's I don't know yeah, much yeah. about I don't know much about One Piece. But I know a little about Ace.
Yeah.
And that's
Ace
just,
is a better Luffy.
It's so cool when you have just the improved version.
Yeah.
And,
of
and
the
it's
guy.
Like, that's that's what you hope that somewhere along the story your character is gonna become that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, we got one coming in from Kazlin, and he says, actually, the title of his thing is called The Burn of Hermes, and he writes, what many people do not realize is that the erection is a passive action. In fact, when men do not have erection, penis must activate fully to make an effort. What is your favorite time a character has released their limiters? How many times are we going to say Vanquish?
Vanquish?
Every time is the answer.
I know it's cliche, but
because it's
I
gameplay.
Always,
yeah.
It's gameplay. Therefore, it's the best answer.
You feel them coming off.
The end.
As a kid, I was always blown away by weighted clothing. Like, I know it's super cliche and that's like the standard, but like I remember like when Dragon Ball first revealed, like, I was wearing weighted clothing.
Yeah.
And then Piccolo's turban just makes a fucking hole in the earth.
Yep.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of up there.
Here's the thing with the so weighted good. Clothing is that in episode 48 of Naruto, when Rock Lee drops the weights.
I was about to say that! Yeah.
He doesn't just unlock the limiters, he unlocks the budget.
Yeah. Locks, okay.
That's right. The part.
But here's the thing. He drops the thing. He drops his limiters, but then he goes a step further and unlocks his mental limiters.
Yes.
And goes,
yes.
Rock Lee's Super Saiyan. I dropped Naruto at Shippuden, but that Rock Lee fight was. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, 48. Absolutely.
Naruto has some problems, but that's one of the legitimate best fight moments I can think of. Because everyone in the room, like, you know what the deal is. Everyone's seen Dragon Ball. Everyone knows that the thing. But no one in that room knows the deal. And there's actually a crowd shot of everyone going like, so what? How much could it possibly be?
And you know that he's kind of cool, but he's still a really nerdish fucking
nerd. He's a speed racer reject.
So that the facial expression everyone makes when it does the cutaway is your face too going,
and then the next frame is the teleport kick next to Gaara.
Yes. And of course perfectly sequenced with the riff of theme of Rock Lee, the rock theme that kicks in while he's doing the whole thing.
I just realized my favorite limiter of all time is in another controversial anime, which is Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, I heard that description.
Oh, it's the thing with the hair.
Yeah, he describes it in the video. Yeah,
the reverse Super Saiyan is. Mm-hmm. I got shivers to the point of my hair standing up. It was amazing.
It is curled down into a fetal position as you saw it.
Oh, it was so good. It's just like. It's the kind of thing where you shouldn't feel excited, like, because you kind of feel like, oh my god, this is terrible, but this is really cool. It's just so good. Like, you don't want him to do it, and like, but even when he does it, you're just like, yeah, this is the good shit.
Okay, I have a mild one that is nowhere near the levels of this crazy shit.
Yeah,
but it's when Ippo's eyes go white.
Yeah,
when Ippo's eyes glaze over. And he's like, oh, he's on autopilot.
And then there's the reverse version of that, which is when you see that green little sparkle in somebody's eye.
Yeah, spiral
energy. Right,
right,
right. But that's the moment.
But that's not so much, because none of them do that choose
it's
to
not
do
a,
that.
It's not a real limiter release.
It's just a boxer's way.
It's just a moment you achieve and you didn't intend it to happen.
Yeah.
But the person who's boxing notices it and goes, fuck!
Oh, he's a weird zombie now!
Yeah. Those are great.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's take one from Scott, who says, "Dear Super X Bonk exclusive friends."
It's not what I want to hear, Scott.
I want to hear that it was never called the Bone X.
I've been desperately waiting for news on upcoming Resi 2 remake.
Yeah, so are we all.
Checking diligently on the official Facebook page and Google on a daily basis, sentiment I've seen from a lot of fans is one of frustration. Not so much at the lack of news, but the lack of how the game will play. Is there any game in recent memory that has frustrated you as the Resident Evil community?
No.
And with the lack of information on the Resi 2 remake.
All anyone wants...
Sent from my Sony Xperia smartphone.
All anyone wants is for them to come out and say if it's pre-rendered or even pre-rendered
or
style.
Or fixed camera.
Fixed camera or not. That's all anyone wants to know. You can delay the game for like 2 fucking years. Just tell me if it's what I want.
You don't need to show me a big trailer now, but you have to like outline what your intent even is. Except for
is there a better or worse answer with either of those?
Pre-rendered, fixed camera. Everyone just wants remake with a 2 at the end of it.
Yeah,
Resident Evil Remake is one of the best games of all time.
Not Resident Evil 4 2 Edition.
Yes, basically.
Okay,
and people are very worried.
Okay.
That's what they're
gonna talking
do.
About Tales of. I would love a split game to be RE2, RE4, and RE2 Remake. Like I wouldn't mind that. I would like to experience both those things. But that's
the Leon collection.
So you know what I want?
The Leon collection.
The Leon.
You know what I want?
Leon the best collection.
Do you know what I want for Resident Evil 2 Remake? What I want
tank
is
controls.
No. Do you remember the RE5 Lost in Nightmares map?
Yes.
Do you remember how it played like RE5?
If
you talked to the front door 3 times, it would ghetto
thing.
Fix it into fixed cameras, but it would still have the RE5 controls. Right?
Yeah.
I want the reverse of that.
So
I want. Fixed.
You're in RE remake.
I want fixed camera controls and all that, but as an unlock, you unlock the behind the shoulder.
What about just
camera.
An option in the options to switch it on, like the new control?
No,
method.
I want it to be an unlock because if there's an option, then they're going to go for 3D aiming, and 3D aiming will break that fucking game.
Also, the environment will then not be pre-rendered.
It's going
to
be 3D no matter what.
It doesn't need to be rendered. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be
3D. Modern 3D is going to blow the fuck out of whatever the pre-rendered shit is. It's going to blow the fuck out.
Okay, Corey says, hey, Willington McMuscles and the Shrieking Ginger. My next probably unanswered question is, what songs do you swear you hear that are from something else entirely. Question already answered. For me, it's Snow Castle from Tekken 5. It makes me think of Zone of the Enders vocals. It sounds super switchable and like it's from the same soundtrack. Absolutely. The main Zone of the Enders 2 theme song and Snow Castle from T5 speak the same impossible, ridiculous language, and they sound very similar. But yeah, there you go. Not Dragon Master. And...
we got one last one.
There's some fun ones. Hold on.
Oh, man.
You found fun ones.
What is the dumbest acronym you've ever encountered? Asks Sick Wheelchair Combos.
Cod Blops.
I have
Call of Duty Black Ops.
I have a three-way tie personally in my head.
Oh, you were ready for this.
Because I've ranted about how much I hate them. One is Megamorph from... Okay, so Mega Man ZX. And
oh,
ZX
Advent. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So okay. The function that was introduced in those systems in Japan was called the Rock On system.
That's why you hate it, because you love the original thing more.
Because he stands up and screams.
R-O-C-K stands for Rebirth of Crystallized Knowledge. He shouts it out, and he goes, Rock On! And teleports, and transforms in henshins. Okay?
Sweet dude.
In it's English, like that doesn't work because it's not Rockman.
Yeah.
It has to become Mega Man.
Yeah.
So the verb becomes Megamorph. And the MEGA system is meta encapsulated granule
ass.
Whatever the fuck the A stands for, it's awful. And I hate it. So that sucks.
Jeez, you had that locked into your mind.
But like, I also.
Second.
Oh, no way. Yeah. There's a
God, he's got three.
We got a second.
Goes to the Shadaloo Intimidation Network, known as SIN. And of course, third. To the project that they worked on, known as the Bleece Engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boiling liquid expanding cell explosion.
Oh my god.
That is...
oh, like so many from... all three are from Capcom!
The top three. With a fucking bullet, untouchable. That's the holy trinity, in my opinion, of stupid acronyms.
The Bleach Engine is so bad, dude.
Yeah, I have one. Even as a kid, I was like, that's stupid. I'm a stupid child, but I know that this is dumber than me, which was Wildcats.
Oh, yeah.
Cats, C-A-T-S, stood for Covert Action Teams. Now, I know what you're thinking. That makes no sense. Jim Lee just said, fuck it. The S on the end of cats, that will stand for that. And what? How? Who thought that would be okay?
That's not how that works.
It's not how that works.
Perfection.
What about you, Clemps? You got one?
Oh my god! The only thing I can think of is when people want to say trails in the sky, which is just tits. That's the only thing I can think of the top of my head.
Oh, MGS poops.
MGS poops, yeah.
We can introduce the concept of Street Fighter Alpha Anthology without further.
We're good.
We're done.
That's the worst one ever.
Street Fighter Alpha Anthology. Wait.
No, you're thinking of something else.
No.
You're thinking...
Street Fighter Alpha Generations.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad
Street
one.
Street Fighter Alpha Anthology is SFA.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh, I just thought of one.
Okay.
So not that's one of those weird ones where it's like everyone, you write it out. You write it out in with normal capitalization and you just see it and it stares at you. But no one at Capcom realized it, and they didn't realize they were giving this to the fighting game community.
So when you're developing a product, I assume there's spreadsheets. I assume people get paid. There's paperwork. And the projects can't always be called their full name. So acronyms have to be used at some point. And no one – someone just looked and
never
just said –
never came up?
Just said,
It's like no one saw X-Bone coming up ever.
Oh,
no one.
My God.
Okay. I'll believe that someone didn't see that because they were too close to it.
Too close.
I think you've been staring at it too long. And
you don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
I definitely thought of a good one, and it's another Capcom one.
Yeah.
funnily enough, it is a Monster Hunter for you, and the only reason why the only reason why is because I can't stop thinking about the goddamn Bane meme.
Oh,
every single time.
Yeah, every single time. There you go.
I can't, for you, it's, I can't stop, man.
And last
it's a disease.
One.
But not least.
Same fucking joke. Dare Super Best Crime Time Exploders XL. Already taken.
Well, he didn't know.
Yeah, I know. Not counting Yakuza characters, because I know it's obviously going to be Kiryu or the rest. Who do you want as a guest in Tekken 7?
I wouldn't mind a Soul Calibur character. I don't know, here's what I think.
Heihachi from Soul Calibur.
Here's what I think. Yoshimitsu. Yeah.
Because I know
how about
like.
How about bullshit modern day time traveled Ivy?
Bullshit.
I'd like
modern day time traveled Ivy.
Isabella Valentine?
No, I know, but what do you mean by bullshit?
She's not wearing the old clothes. She's in a modern 2017 clothing.
But what's the point then? Why not just make a whole new character? If you're going to change
it so much. It's a guest character, but it's like she's in the modern day.
Have two different costumes.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like Heihachi going back to the past. Now it's someone from Soul Calibur coming back to the future.
Okay, okay.
So that's what I was going for, the exchange of characters.
Yeah, I see now.
Spawn.
Necrid.
I want to see Lizard Boy.
See, here's the thing.
I mean, Roger Jr. is a character.
In my mind...
Katamari?
So, this is kind of a weird problem, because in my mind, I want to say a Virtua Fighter character, right? But the problem with that is that the poster boy
Those
for Virtua Fighter
characters.
Is Akira. And Akira
is very boring.
Is a nightmare to play. He's not... Right? So it's like, well, who would I want? I'd like Wolf, or I'd like Jackie, or... You know, but who would fit? Like, who would actually fit? Like, Sarah?
I guess. But she looks a lot like Nina.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
I mean, yeah, it would have to be Akira or Jackie.
Or Kage.
I'd like Wolf.
Kage would work.
Kage would work.
Yeah. But, I say Ivy in a purple suit. All right.
Ivy's kind of like now the pseudo poster girl for Soul Calibur. So
Clemps?
Yeah, I guess.
I'd be voting for Mitsurugi, honestly.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. I wanna see my boy. Like, he could totally fit into
Mitsurugi dressed as a Yakuza?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. It has to happen.
With the sword? Yeah.
That'd be beautiful. That'd actually totally work.
That'd be fucking dope. Like, loose fitting suit. Absolutely.
Oh, man. I want it now.
I think we just need a special set of costumes for Soul Calibur
that
are just like modern day alternate reality.
In my mind, I was like, you couldn't put Mitsurugi in his sword would break. I'm like, wait, fuck no, fuck me. Yoshimitsu has a fucking sword.
Of course he does.
Yeah. I always forget. Yeah. Like they just
there's chainsaws in the game.
Yeah, you can shoot
there are guns.
Shoot gun.
Modern day clothing DLC pack. That would be something.
That's not bad.
All right. All right, so let's start wrapping it up here. Clemps, where can people find you, and what are you looking forward to?
Okay.
In terms of media.
You can find me on YouTube if you type in Mr. Clemps or just Clemps. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Clemps. I have a Twitch, which is Clemps Twitch. And finally, there's my Patreon, which is patreon.com/Clemps. And as far as what I'm looking forward to...
Can I ask where the name comes from?
Of course you can. It is a...
No, you cannot.
No, you fucker. No, it's a nickname I've had since I was like 13.
Yeah.
It is a play on my surname.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes. So that's where the name Clemps came from. And I know people are going to go, where the rubber gloves came from? They just happened. There's no big story
about that.
I saw it in a thing when I was a kid, and I was like, oh,
Fight
I
Club.
Make this work. This would be funny. Yeah.
If anyone remembers that scene,
hell yeah.
As far as media that I'm excited for, obviously 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. That's something which I really want to see more of, and I hope it doesn't let me down, though I doubt it will. I'm looking forward for more Tekken 7 content. I'm looking forward for Stormblood stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I know there was some more that I was dead excited for. This is going to sound strange. I'm actually just excited to keep
working on my channel, I guess, like out of everything.
Totally valid.
I just want to, like, there are so many JRPGs that people don't know of, and whenever I mention it to them, they go, what are you talking about? And I want to bring these games to light because they're so good, and it feels like they're just kind of thrown aside most of the time, and I don't like that when they're so quality. So I hope that I can bring it to people's attention. And
I'm glad you made a video that helped me understand just how bad Jade Cocoon falls apart at the end.
Yeah, it really. And I actually had people tell me that if you go out of your way to go to a graveyard and talk to an old man, he'll fill in the bits that you missed out. It's like, but why didn't they just have that in the main game? No. Yeah, seriously. I'm positive there are more games I'm excited for. I guess Splatoon 2.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes out in less than a month.
Yeah. Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Well, that's... like in October.
That's late. That's end of summer.
Well, yeah. We didn't say what media, like within the next.
No, planning to never be on. This has been a miserable experience for him.
Okay.
But yeah, those are the things I'm excited for, and I guess thank you for having me on.
Hey, right on, dude.
Our pleasure.
Personally, I guess in the near future, I'm not going to get to play it right away, but I definitely am curious to try out Ever Oasis. It's that Grezzo. Original Nintendo's 3DS RPG there. And
seems neat.
I mean, considering they put out some pretty fun Zelda games, I feel like they know how to make a good...
Made better Zelda games.
They know how to make a good game. I remember it's been a while since
we've seen...
Does that
come out?
It's coming out on the 23rd, I believe.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, like, yeah.
That's this week.
Oh, my God. They teased it a while ago, and I haven't heard much of it since. But,
the last time I saw was last E3.
But, those are good guys, so I want to see what that game's about. Hmm. If it's anything like, you know, their other stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Matt?
I'm looking forward to, like I said before, playing more Friday the 13th over that new content. Over the week, I think it's a double XP weekend this weekend, although we're going to be actually in... Philadelphia for too many games.
Mm-hmm. Too many games.
Willie and I, a very, very quick trip. We're like Friday, then we're leaving Sunday. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. I'll also take the time to, I talked a little bit about my Twitter. I've been working on something for like over a year now. Kind of alluded it to when PAX East was about to start up. But I am working / helping on a video game that will get released.
What is it called?
Hopefully sometime this year, but it might be next year. It's called The Takeover. Some people know about this. Some people have pieced it together. But it is a beat-em-up that's on Steam Early Access right now. It's made primarily one guy, Antonis. And I'm just kind of like producing / helping out on him, getting cutscenes made, that type of thing, doing suggestions, stuff like that. So it's in Steam Early Access right now. It's still like very not finished. There's still things missing, mechanics, whatever. So I've been working on this for like since last February. If you like Final Fight and Streets of Rage, those types of beat 'em ups, it might be worth checking out whenever it comes out. If you like your beat-em-ups to have cooldowns and roguelike elements and survival elements, it's probably not for you. But it's something that I've put a lot of like additional work into. It's mainly Antonis' game. And to get ahead of it a little bit, Antonis was also the guy behind 90s Arcade Racer, which was a Kickstarter project from a few years back. And unfortunately, he signed to have the game published by Nicalis, who very rarely publish anything and actually get it out the door. Aside from, like, what's the guy? The Binding of Isaac and Cave Story. They've gotten their hands on a couple of games and they never released them. Like Yatagarasu, those versions of it. So they've done nothing with his project. He signed over the rights to it and we're trying to buy it back from them to actually release it because they've been completely silent on the game. I don't know, Pat. I think maybe podcast 2 we had a story about Nicalis not releasing something. So we're gonna try to see
if
we can get
a good way to make money.
It's not. We're gonna try to see if we can get that game actually released in the meantime. But
good luck.
The takeover, just to really like wrap it up. If you like those types of games, that's for you. If you want to spend $4 on it to check out Early Access, you can if you want. All the money goes to Antonis. I'm doing this completely pro bono. He doesn't have enough money to put in some other stuff. So for cutscenes, we have Takahata 101. We have Mark Swint, the voice of Nick Callie in Street Fighter V. We have Sarah Ann Williams, the voice of Peacock. We'll have Kira Buckland, the voice of 2B and Nier in there. Hey. We also have a lot of musical, Richie Branson, Little V Mills. And our big one is that we partnered with a company in Japan called Dangan Entertainment, and they have asked one Yuzo Koshiro, the composer of Streets of Rage, to maybe do a track or two on this, and he will be providing said track.
Matt, would you consider that a roster of all the Warriors?
I was thinking of saying All the Warriors before, but I was like, someone will say it. But it's a lot of All the Warriors. Also, Cranky is helping out, and just tons and tons of people. Donald Kirby, who's done intros for us before. So lots of Warriors. I'll be working towards this. This will be released for sure on Steam. There will also be a Switch version, and hopefully after that, a PS4 version will be in the cards. So, you want to check out Beat 'em Ups, please do, and stay tuned to my Twitter or the Twitter takeover. Just put in the takeover. Unfortunately, the takeover is the most common hip hop event name ever. So you will find many takeovers.
So I put it to Google to check it out.
I got
nothing. Yeah. So I had to put in the takeover game,
the takeover
or Steam or PC, whatever. Also, Def Jam the Takeover comes out for the PSP a lot. So
of course,
that's what I've been doing in the background for close to a year.
Out there in the public.
Woo-hoo! Also, what's out there in the game right now is Zubaz is a boss that you can fight, and he's pathetic.
What's his shitty ass doing showing up somewhere else?
He shows up to join this Mad Gear-like gang. He's terrible.
Fuck that character.
He gets beaten up very quickly, and he's also voiced by Chase, who voiced Zubaz in Dive Kick as
well. Those fucking attention-grabbing whores that keep putting him and all these games. They'd stop ruining games with their stupid character.
The ongoing possibility of the fantasy of who is this character?
Fuck this guy.
Who makes this guy?
But at the end of the day, this is a very, very.
Did they make a deal with Iron Galaxy? What is
it? They must own him. It's a very indie game. It is made by one guy, so it's going to be priced pretty low. But if you're like Sega refuses to do anything with Streets of Rage. If anything, they shut down fan projects of it. So hopefully that can fill this kind of void. And that's basically the elevator pitch.
Cool. I'll also put a little asterisk.
Please
by,
do.
Pointing out that our buddy Cranky Construct has recently released a demo for the game he's been working on, Lunar Regalia.
Yeah.
So you can take
a look
at that.
It's like a proof of concept demo right now, but yeah.
So yeah, he's been working on that for a while. So by all means, take a spin. Check it out.
Also, if you want to report bugs, tell them to me. Maybe I can forward them to the right people.
Yeah. And that's going on right now as well. So... that's something. Everyone's projects that have been going on are starting to come to
coalesce,
fruition.
Coalesce.
Starting to come together. So that's cool. That's fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, Pat.
I'm going to play Stormblood.
That's what you're going to do?
Yep.
Right on. I guess then that leaves the actual channel, streaming, things like that, whatnot. There's... more LP to continue.
Yes. We wrapped up a bunch of things recently, but
yes,
people won't even.
Right.
People are still going to be going through that content for at least another week or more.
Two of the three games we are playing.
People
at the
have to guess
have
which ones
beaten,
are still,
and one is still going.
Yeah,
it's up to you to decide.
So once all that's wrapped up, we have at least two things planned out of the gate.
Let's announce one of them.
Which one?
Ooh,
let's let the people know that. Yeah. We're going to be playing the Tekken story mode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
So, I'm going to... wait, who you want to throw Kazuya off the cliff, or do we all want to touch the button at the same time?
Let's touch the button at the same time.
There's enough real estate.
Yeah, we all got to do
it. I couldn't be happier to throw that stupid shot.
Wait, it's both buttons. Just two inputs. Yeah, so,
one person get. So here's what you do. Me and Matt put one finger on each button, and then we'll push our fingers down together.
Yeah. There you go.
Done.
Off that fucking cliff.
Perfect. And yeah, beyond that, you know, I guess there's the usual fisticuffs and stuff coming up. We're gonna be at Too Many Games. Matt McMuscle's Twitch, Wooly Versus,
Angriest Pat,
and Mr. Klemps.
Or Klemps Twitch, whichever.
Quark.
We're putting out a lot of stuff. Well, I'm not, but I mean, but the group is.
All right.
As a whole.
Sir, Mr. Klemps, it was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much, British
man. I had
a
great time.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes.
Hey, next time you play HOTS with fucking Eyepatch, tell him he sucks.
I will. I'll tell him exactly.
And that he smells.
Oh.
Nailed it.
Your Eyepatch smells.
Hey, I don't know if you saw, but our buddy George. Our buddy George had someone doing some sick kick flips with George socks on. So George socks are getting pushed.
Unfortunately.
Did they come back?
Yes.
They did.
I thought it was a limited run thing, but no. It's not.
Too good to be true. Anyway.
Unfortunately.
All right.
If you put the George sock on your dick and take a picture, it's technically not safe for work.
Also, for anybody listening, if you can tweet at Eyepatch Wolf and tell him that he's a lovely guy, then that'll be great.
To offset the thrashing you'll give him.
Tell him that he's swell.
All right. Thank you very much, Witch Laugh Man.
Yeah. All right, Clems. You got a lot of Dragon Ball fans to go answer. So
Oh, no.
We'll talk to you later. All right.
Go easy on me. Yes. See ya. Later.